And we have our snow team on alert this morning.
The snow team.
Yeah.
That's you, Swanee.
Yeah, that's you and me. That's me looking out the window and you checking the computer.
That's exactly it, yes. We've been doing a lot of looking out the windows here in the last 24 hours.
You know, sometimes that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Except things are, you know, what's going on here in downtown Chicago, not necessarily what's going on around the area.
Well, two different things, of course.
Yeah, but
whether of downtown here versus
it's about the same.
The suburbs. I saw as much as 10 inches of snow in Antioch taking place here in the last day or so.
Well, we had a text that's just come in. I'm not sure from where. It's a 773 area code, so I'm guessing Chicago. But it says, I took three measurements a half an hour ago in my backyard in three different spots. The average depth of snow was 11.5 inches. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. We're on track to set records. In fact, Mike Jansen was reporting yesterday that we set a record for November 29th.
Right.
Snowfall for the 29th at 6.9 at O'Hare.
Yeah.
Official total there. And still more to come, really. Yeah. It's, you know, some lighter things today and moving out.
Blowing and drifting, I think, is going to be...
That's the problem, yeah.
The biggest deal. We're going to talk with meteorologist Bill Snyder a little bit later on in the show, just for an update on, where we are, what's to come,
mm-hmm.
what happens. So we'll get a full meteorological update on the whole thing. But from my trained eye... I think we've gone soft on winter, don't you think?
Yep.
I think we've gone a little soft. It's just a snowfall. It's not.
We're Midwesterners, so we can handle it.
We're tough.
You know what else? You know, those of us of a certain age remember the big snow of 67.
Yes.
And the blizzard
I heard about
of 7.
That. My parents told me.
Yeah,
about
your
that.
Parents told me. And the blizzard of 79.
Yeah, my parents told me about that too.
All right, don't even mention 2011.
Yeah.
Don't your parents told you about that one?
Yeah, I remember all those. And those were doozies. I mean, those were doozies.
They certainly were.
But
my car was buried
in
1979.
I think the snow that we've gotten, and it's significant, and you do have to be careful. All the usual, you know, precautions certainly apply, but it's a Chicago wind. It's a Chicago snowstorm.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
relatively early though. In this type of storm, you know, we don't normally see this until December or January, but here it is. It's moving in already.
Yep.
Also saw a statistic saying that we did get 10 inches in November 29th in 1951, though. Now, neither one of us are going to remember that.
My parents told me about
that. Your parents told me about that one. Mine did, too.
You never saw our parents complaining about the snow.
Oh, no.
That was a tough generation.
And, you know,
they'd send you out in the snow for the, like, here, go to the store and buy me a pack of smokes. I don't care. It's 14 inches of snow outside.
We did not have a snowblower. We had snow shovels.
Same.
And I remember if we had a snow like this, you know, there was Dad shoveling the driveway.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I'm still in bed, you know, but I'm hearing.
Really? He let you stay in bed?
No, he got me out. He got me out. But he would just make a path.
When we had a snowfall, Dad was out there.
Out there, yeah.
But so were all the rest of us.
Yeah, shoveling away.
With our little... shovels.
We did shovel out neighbors' driveways.
Yep.
We had some people living alone that needed help, so we did that.
Yeah, I made a killing during the big snow of 67.
Did you?
Shoveling people's snow and going to get groceries for people.
That's when making a killing was 50 cents.
That's
if you got a dollar, wow.
Yeah, it still is. Have you seen my contract? I can tell you. Yes, indeed. Let it snow. Just flurries mostly today. And we'll get through it all. We'll keep you posted. As I had mentioned, we're going to be talking with meteorologist Bill Snyder in a bit. We are going to be talking, Schwani, with Chicago Streets and Sand Commissioner Cole Stallard in a few minutes to get the update on Chicago streets and the overnight parking ban and, you know, all that stuff.
That begins at midnight.
Midnight tonight. Yeah. This morning. Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Tonight, tomorrow morning, however you want to call it. But, yeah, so we'll get to all that. Did everybody have a nice Thanksgiving?
We had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
We're all back here together again on the old Sunday morning show. Jack Heinrich filling in on sports today. I'm not sure exactly if you're filling in. I'm not sure of Andy Mazur's status on our show anymore.
I don't know either. The boss man just tells me to be here, and I'm here.
Yeah, he's a big shot now. Just sits back in his office smoking cigars, yelling at people. It's a whole different Andy.
Like Mr. Slate on the Flintstones.
I was thinking more like Mr. Potter on It's
a Wonderful Life. Oh, Mr. Potter on It's a Wonderful Life. Okay.
Do the sports on Sunday. Jack Hammer, you think you're a wise guy?
So you had a nice Thanksgiving, Schwani?
I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, yes. Gilda is here, and we had a delightful dinner. Carrying on, really, what I would like to term a family tradition, and that is having Thanksgiving
pizza?
Dinner. No. Oh, well, actually, we got pizza. We had pizza the other day and leftovers that are still in the fridge. But Thursday afternoon, carrying on a family tradition that Dad and I started 25 years ago this year at the Hilton and Towers on South Michigan.
Oh, yes.
Their buffet is just top notch.
A buffet.
Absolutely fantastic.
That sounds good.
Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Schwani tying on the old feed bag.
We did.
Walking up and down the table.
that's you're not far wrong. Nice. I mean, with a salad bar, a cheese bar, entrees.
Yeah, a bar.
Well, that too. Yeah, we won't go there. But
to have a little mimosa or something.
And carved turkey, carved ham.
Lovely.
I was on Friday with David Hochberg, and he was, when I mentioned that they had braised beef, a brisket that was served as well, he was like, "What? Oh, stop!" So it was
a good Hochberg.
It was amazing.
Doesn't he always talk like that?
Yes.
I think so.
.com.
And Jack, what was your Thanksgiving like?
I was here with Schwani in the morning with Plyer. Then I went home.
Doesn't get better than that.
It does. That's how you start the day off.
Yeah.
And then went home. We had like 20 people over at my parents' house. It was nice.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Your mom cook?
Mom cooked. Aunt cooked.
Family.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Producer Eli, were you in Texas on Thanksgiving? You went home.
I was
for the holiday, but were you still back there for the actual tea day?
I was back here for tea day. I went home over the weekend, surprised my mom for her birthday.
Oh, nice.
Big 5-0, so happy birthday, Mom. And then...
Hey, Schwani, did you hear that? His mom is only 50 years
old. Yeah, I did.
And I guess we'll just move right past that. Came back in town at the beginning of the week because I had some work to do, but it was good to see her, and then I was with my aunts and uncles on Thanksgiving.
Very nice. Very nice. And I was with my family on Thanksgiving. Went to my brother's house. We had fantastic, turkey dinner, turkey and ham, and all the fixins. It was nice.
Now, as I recall, you were on the phone with Dave on Thursday morning.
Yes, I was.
And Dave asked you what your plans were for the day. And
yes.
As I recall, you were...
I think I told him none of his business.
You did say that, yes.
But you were told... You indicated that you were told not to cook.
I offered to help cook because my nephew is quite a chef. He loves to cook, and... He made Thanksgiving dinner.
It runs in the family.
For the whole family. Well, it sort of does.
You, honestly. Your mother, your nephew?
My nephew is quite the cook, and I said, "What can I help you with?" And he said, "You cook all the time. I want you to just enjoy the day and not cook anything." So
that's really nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So what did you eat?
So it turns out I did make a side dish, though. Have you ever heard on Bob Surratt's show talk about his wife Marianne's corn casserole?
I think I've heard it mentioned,
yes. It's cornbread casserole. It's corn and corn muffin mix. And I've been wanting to try it forever because she's said that it's a knockout. And it is a knockout. I did make it and bring it to my brother's house anyway. And, you know, everybody scooped it up. Went crazy. Yeah, it was nice. Very nice. And enjoyed some leftover. What's your favorite? I was thinking about this as I was enjoying some leftovers last night. What my favorite leftover is. And I can't decide if it's stuffing or sweet potatoes.
It could be either one. The one thing about
One or the other.
The one thing about, you know, doing what we do on Thanksgiving is that we're not necessarily cooking at home, so therefore there aren't really any leftovers.
Well, had Thanksgiving like rich people.
Bougie.
You're the reason that a lot of other people had to work on Thanksgiving.
Oh, there it is. Well, Shawnee worked, so I guess that's a trade-off.
I did work, yes. And I worked on Friday, but no leftovers. So
I think it might be sweet potatoes.
But
you know, what I've talked about, my turkey leftover sandwich that I like to make. Where you take you take a layer of turkey, a layer of stuffing, a layer of sweet potato, a little cranberry, put it between some sourdough bread.
That is a meal.
And that's a good sandwich, right?
That sounds good. Yeah, that always works.
Yeah, my favorite leftover is turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make a big sandwich like that.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You know what? We're going to deal with a lot of what's going on outside today with weather and roads and travel. And City of Chicago Streets and Sand Commissioner Cole Stollard is on with us right now just to give us a little update. Commissioner, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. How are you, sir?
Hey, after listening to you two, I thought I was going to have to come on and talk about my wife's cornbread make. Yes, bread.
Yeah.
She made the same thing.
It's delicious, right?
Snow, though, I hope.
It's delicious. Yeah. If you got to go outside and clean the streets of Chicago, you got to have some cornbread casserole in your belly. That's for sure. So it sure looks like the streets are pretty clear this morning. Give us the update on where we are in the city of Chicago this morning.
Well, I never like to say how we did because I like to hear from the people of Chicago because they're going to tell us how we did. You know, they're not shy in telling us. So hopefully we did good. You know, people got to get back and forth where they were coming from. We know we had a lot of college kids in for the holiday week, and hopefully they all got back safely. But we've been working this. We're still on the mains. We just took a little blast within the last hour, and we're going to be transitioning to those neighborhood streets within hopefully the next hour, hour and a half.
How many people do you have out on the streets this morning?
It'll be over 250. We're just doing a switch right now.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are watching Plow Tracker, because people like to watch that too, you'll see them bunched up in certain areas. Those are our yards. But, we'll be out on the street within the next half hour, a little over 250.
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't really jump on any side streets at all, but the main streets that I took in this morning, everything is pretty clear and pretty dry, despite the, you know, some flurries that are still coming down this morning. I'd say we got through this storm pretty clear. You know, a lot of times it can overwhelm us, but it seems like everybody knew what was going to happen, and you guys were definitely ready for it.
Yeah, no, the weather forecasters, they were spot on with this one. It was no mystery. It was coming straight out of the west, heading east. And, again, we're just dealing with this one little clipper system that came through that just put, without as much traffic, you know, if this was a weekday, traffic would pretty much chew all that snow up for us. But we want to make one more pass before we hit to those residential streets.
Good deal. So we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, we've got the overnight parking ban, which begins tonight. Explain, all the details of that so people aren't surprised tomorrow morning when they get up to go to work.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for saying tonight. That's my main message is it's tonight. Tonight at 3 o'clock. So Sunday night into Monday, clock strikes midnight, it's December 1st. So we're out there at 3 in the morning. We don't want your car. We don't want your car. It's on 107 miles, and those are all on bus routes. So in like a situation like this where we got, you know, up at O'Hare, I'm hearing where we're at, like right around 8.9 inches of snow. Down south, I'm hearing 7.2. But if we can't get that snow and then we get a freeze like we're going to get during the week, that stuff will sit there and bury these cars in. So we have to, this is a tool we have to keep those main roads clear and those bus routes clear for fire, police, ambulance, you know, CTA, PACE, and people. So people can move. You know, we got almost a million people a week coming in here, moving around. So plus the 2.7 that live here, we got to keep it moving. You know, so it's a tool we have. You know, we average about 63 to 65 cars a night from December 1st to April 1st. If I can cut that average in half, I'd be a happy person. But the first few nights, it's real heavy because we flyer the route. We try to, you know, come on platforms like yours and, you know, been putting it out on our social, you know, press releases. Just try to get that message out because we don't want your car.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's December 1st. It sneaks up on you. Suddenly it's here. And you forget that we've had this parking ban, overnight parking ban, for years now. So, you know, just find someplace else to park so... Cole can get his guys and ladies out there to clean things up so we don't have to look at these gigantic piles of ice all winter long. If you do forget and you do leave your car out there, there's a chance that you could get towed out of there, correct?
Yeah, oh, you'll get towed. If you're parked on one of those 107 miles, you're on the south side, you'll be going to Doty, and if you're on the north side, you'll be going to Sacramento to retrieve your car. It's $150 plus $60 ticket and, you know, $25 a day storage fee. So let's not end a great weekend that, you know, we had. We had our Bears winning on Friday, and, you know, you'll get to enjoy some snow for today with the kids out in front, but let's not end it on a negative. Let's move those cars tonight.
Yeah, just park someplace else tonight. You'll be look for the signs. If there are no signs there, you'll be okay. But keep an eye out for that. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes, Cole, to talk to us. Keep us posted if anything unusual happens. Cole Stollard is the commissioner, City of Chicago Streets and Sanitation. Thank you, sir. Have a great Sunday.
You too, Dean. Thank you.
Imagine my family's surprise, Schwani, when we're going around the table and saying what we're thankful for. And I listed as my first thing that I'm thankful for, the far-flung forecast.
How nice. Thank you so much.
Why? Because it's fascinating. It's interesting. It's educational. It's entertaining. And most of all, it burns up 5 minutes of the show that I don't have to do.
You don't have to worry about
it. That's... Ladies and gentlemen, everyone's favorite, the far-flung forecast. Here now is Dave Schwann.
Well, I'm thankful that you're thankful, Dean.
I'm thankful.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Eli. Thank you, Jack. I'm very thankful for you all. Thank you so very much.
I'm thankful for these hip boots that I have to wear.
And I'm thankful for all of our listeners, the best in the world. Friends and neighbors, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We head down south today to Tuskegee, Alabama.
Whoa.
Tuskegee, Alabama, yeah. In Macon County, Alabama. Okay. Population 9,395. And the word Tuskegee comes from a Spanish derivative, Tuskegee, which means...
How is that?
Tuskegee. Tuskegee.
Okay.
Which means warriors.
Okay, Ricardo Montalban.
It means warriors.
Oh.
And it was a Native American town. It's in the south-southeast region of Alabama.
Hmm.
And we mention Tuskegee, Alabama, because it is the birthplace of someone really who changed American history.
Wow.
Rosa Parks.
Oh, yes.
Who, on tomorrow's date... 70 years ago, refused to give up her seat to a white person on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, thus starting the Montgomery bus boycott, which was organized by a young minister named Martin Luther King Jr.
Which in many ways kicked off the civil rights movement.
It did. And that was on December 1st of 1955.
Wow.
The bus boycott went for over a year. And finally, in 1956 or early 1957, it was actually a law that African Americans were required to give up their seat to a white person. That was changed. So this was the beginning of real change in the United States. Mm-hmm. Rosa Parks, of course, was so well respected and revered and admired until her death, October 24th of 2005. Her body was laying in honor at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda,
right,
a very rare, if not unprecedented, event for a citizen.
A civilian,
to have happened. Right. So Tuskegee, Alabama was the birthplace of Rosa Parks. Little milder there today, mostly cloudy, but 53 and some rain today, and maybe a high of 60 today in Tuskegee.
The courage that it took. Back then, 1955.
You were taking your life into your hands.
You were literally taking your life in your hands by saying, no, I'm not going to move.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to the back of the bus.
Yep. Dean, I remember a gentleman that worked with us at WCFL, was an African-American gentleman, an engineer there, and who told me a story about growing up in the South and was in on the back of the bus, but a white woman sat next to him, and he was terrified because he knew that if he looked the wrong way, anything could happen.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because there is a story in the news that they are trying to move the remains of Emmett Till to be right next to his mother. Right now they're in the same cemetery.
But they're not next to each other.
In different locations. And they're trying to move them so they're right next to each other. But it made me think about the whole Emmett Till tragedy.
Yes.
Of him allegedly whistling at a white woman and getting killed for it.
And getting killed for it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That incident also, all taking place in the mid-1950s was, generated what became the civil rights movement.
Right.
Especially after the pictures were made public of Emmett Till and what they did to him. It's horrifying.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness we're living in a world now that is so much more peaceful.
Well.
and perfect. Without trauma.
Without trouble. Yeah. But Tuskegee, Alabama, birthplace of Rosa Parks, like I said, a high of 60 today down there.
It's 9:42. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Week in Health, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. And a happy holiday season to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw and Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. I hope you had a wonderful holiday, Dr. Wheat.
I did. How was yours?
Very, very, very nice. And then we had all this beautiful winter atmosphere with the snow outside to make it look seasonal. But there could be some health risks with the cold and suddenly with the snow. What are the biggest things? I mean, we remind people of this every year, but I think it's worth, remembering the kinds of precautions that people need to take with all the snow, with all of the cold. What should we and should we not be doing?
Yeah, there is so much we have to think about. The most obvious is actually just being too cold. You can get hypothermia when you're outside for too long and not bundled up, and that's when you're body temperature drops too low, and that can cause some problems. There's also frostbite. If you're out there shoveling right now and your extremities, like your fingers or your toes or your ears, start getting pale and losing feeling, then it could be a sign of frostbite. And then also just when it's cold out, everything gets more irritated. So we see more heart problems, we see more respiratory conditions, and of course, we're all exposed to colds and flus this time of year. So there's so much that we have to worry about as it gets cold out.
You know what I always worry about when I see people out shoveling the snow? And, you know, it's got to be done. Not everyone has a snowblower. Mm-hmm. But often I see senior citizens outside with their good old snow shovels, and I worry about them that, you know, this is, you know, it could be very taxing on the heart, correct?
Absolutely. You and me both worrying. Not just, I worry about that, especially if you're somebody that is sedentary and then all of a sudden going out there and doing this hard work. If you start to feel chest pressure or pain, it's a reason to stop immediately and go to the emergency room. And then I also worry about the slickness of the ground and people falling as they're shoveling as well. That can also cause some concerns.
Yeah. Are there certain conditions which are more risky for people going outside? And it's like, oh, I'm just going to lightly, you know, clear the pathway a little bit. Obviously, heart patients are probably top of that list, right?
They are absolutely on the top of my list because it does increase the risk of high blood pressure and straining your heart, leading to more heart attacks and strokes, unfortunately. But also those who have breathing conditions. So if you have asthma or COPD, some of the breathing problems, then it can be more difficult to breathe out in the cold. And so that also is a problem.
Yeah. Are there masks, you know, some kind of protection for people who have respiratory problems being out in this weather? I mean, it's pretty much going to be with us until spring.
Right. So I don't necessarily recommend like a specific mask for this, but I do recommend considering getting like a scarf or one of those ones that just sort of goes around your neck. I'm blanking on the name of it right now, where you can cover your mouth and cover your neck so that as the air comes through, it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, it's a, almost an elasticy sort of product.
Exactly.
I don't know what it's called either. And sometimes there's even a cap that it just completely pulls over your head. It protects your head, your ears, your neck, your mouth. Those are probably really good ideas to have right now. And then the other thing, we talked about this last week. This is the season of overindulgence with eating. And I don't want to nag anybody about what they're eating. People are going to do whatever they want to do for this time of the year. But what can we do with the weight loss options? All I ever hear in the news are about the injectables, the Ozempics, the Mounjaros. Hear about weight loss surgery. What are some of the options right now? I mean, pushing away from the table certainly is option number one. But what about these other options for weight loss?
So I really think that both options are great. So thinking about medication for weight loss and also thinking about surgery for weight loss. If you've reached a point that your weight is higher, then these are great opportunities to help you lose weight and decrease your risk of so many other things. Now, the medications are great for people who don't feel like they want surgery or who have not quite reached the weight where surgery is recommended. And it can be a weekly injection and help really decrease the hunger, to decrease that noise that comes with always wanting food. The surgery option can be a bit more sustainable and can really just sort of help also decrease the hunger that people are experiencing, allow them to feel full faster. But the truth is that whether you choose a surgery option, a medication option, or even both together, it still requires really changing habits every single day. And so neither one of them is a super quick fix.
Yeah, if you continue to overeat, it doesn't really matter what you do, right? I mean, I guess that's the,
right.
the bottom line.
Or if you drink your calories, then it doesn't really help you either, because you might not feel full, but drink something that is very sugary or loaded with calories, and then it doesn't help so much.
Alcohol, right? What about side effects with some of these injectable drugs, the Ozempics and so forth? I've heard people say there are all kinds of side effects. And I've heard people say the minute that you get off of taking that medication, you're right back where you started from.
Yeah, those are both good questions. So the side effects really have to do with slowing down of your digestion. So sometimes people feel nausea or even are vomiting because of it. Sometimes people are feeling bad constipation because of it. Both of those things can be helped with ensuring that you have lots of fluids, you're staying hydrated, and eating a fair amount of fiber to keep your digestion tract moving. There's also the problem that really you won't feel hungry, and maybe you won't remember to eat, and so then you can have the problems of feeling dizzy or your blood sugar going too low is something to pay attention to.
All right, let me take a break.
And then,
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Then the last thing is just sort of making sure that you're staying on protein, because with the injectables, you can lose your protein, your muscle mass, and so that can be problematic.
All right. Talk to your doctors, of course, before you do any of that, and you know, maybe think about pushing back on some of the portions as well. We'll take a break and come back and get to your questions and comments for Dr. Santina Wheat, 312-981-7200. 954, The Week in Health, WGN, Dr. Santina Wheat, taking your calls, texts, and emails, 312-981-7200. Nick, let's start off with you. What do you have for Dr. Wheat?
Yeah, I was just saying to the screener that in the summer I wear one of those Fauci masks over my ear and then underneath my chin. So most of the time the air conditioning on a bus is very powerful. I have a bad air conditioning allergy, so that way it's ready to go. But in the winter, I have two masks, one that I wear, and the things you were trying to refer to, it's called a face mask, a heavier garment that goes over your face and covers mostly your face and nose, protects you from the cold wind. And then what I do is I have an extra face mask in my bag, which I call my MERS, my man purse. No comments, please, until I'm off the air. But anyhow, yeah, that's what they call it, a man purse, a MERS.
All right.
And be sensitive, but anyhow, that way when my vapors get caught up in the Fauci mask, I take that off and put it into my bag and take the fresh one out and put it on. And a lot of times the other one, because it's thin material, it'll dry out by the time I arrive somewhere and before I need to switch again.
Yeah, it sounds like you are extremely well protected there, which is, Dr. Wheat, I guess that's fantastic. Some people on our text line are saying that the thing that we were talking about that covers your neck, your mouth, your ears, your head is called balaclava apparently is what that is called. So, you know, be aware of that. We also had a question about masks, 407 area code. With holiday parties coming up, what are your thoughts about wearing masks at parties where there are large groups of people?
You know, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think today it is hard to show up at an event and not have someone in the room be sick. And so it is a way to help protect yourself, especially if you are high risk. And so it's not a bad idea if you feel comfortable doing that. There will absolutely be risks to all the events that we go to. And I did look up what I was thinking of is also called a gaiter, is the one that just gets your neck.
Yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea to grab one of those. You'll be nice and toasty warm this winter.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Have a great Sunday and a great week, Doctor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
All right. We will continue here on the program with an interesting lineup on the show today. All the regular features, plus we're going to keep an eye on all the things that may affect you today as you're doing some holiday traveling. We've got meteorologist Bill Snyder, who is going to be joining us just after the 10 o'clock news to get a complete update on the weather and what's happened, you know, with the storm yesterday. We'll get all of that. We'll get you the latest on delays at the airports, and there are many delays and many cancellations. And then for some of the regular features on the show today, we're going to be talking with E. Faye Butler. She's always been one of my favorite performers on stage in the Chicago area. She is now directing the production of Sister Act, the adaptation of the Whoopi Goldberg movie for the stage out at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook, where, by the way, we're going to be having our next Dean's Night Out. It's going to be coming up very soon. I believe it's a week from today. But today is the final day that you can register to win tickets to join me to see Sister Act at the Drury Lane. If you go to WGNradio.com/contests, you can enter, and we're going to be picking some winners' names, and they will join me not only to see the show, but for a special meet-and-greet reception that we will have before the show as well. Also today, the stars of Wicked for Good, Ariana Grande, Cynthia Erivo, Jeff Goldblum, Jonathan Bailey, the stars of Wicked talk to me about this franchise, which is about to become one of the biggest of the year movie-wise. That's all coming up after we get a check of our WGN News.
-30 degrees and light snow at 10 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Schwann. The news is sponsored by FloorCoveringsInternational.com. The winter storm is right on time for the start of Chicago's winter parking ban.
Blackhawks looking to snap winless skid in homestand finale.
Looking at WGN traffic, solid traffic on the Kennedy westbound between I-90 and O'Hare Airport as people move into O'Hare for this final day of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and a number of accidents out there also. In the Dan Ryan Express lanes now, an accident blocking the two left lanes inbound at 63rd. The Eisenhower has an accident outbound at Des Plaines Avenue. Northwest Indiana, we have the left lane continuing to be blocked near 109th Street. We had an earlier accident there involving a jackknifed semi. And on the tri-state, three left lanes are blocked on an exit ramp. This is the northbound off-ramp to I-88 heading westbound. The rest of the expressways and tollways moving well, but roads remain slick. Be careful out there. Nationwide, over 1,800 flights have been canceled as this storm has hit the central U.S. FlightAware saying most of the cancellations yesterday were in the Midwest. Now we have an update of flight delays at O'Hare. 250 flights canceled at O'Hare, 8 at Midway, with delays averaging about 15 minutes. And if you park in Chicago, check the street signs where you leave your car tonight. The city's winter parking ban goes into effect overnight tonight. Tow trucks will be out, and Streets and Sand Commissioner Cole Stollard told WGN's Dean Richards.
We average about 63 to 65 cars a night from December 1st to April 1st. If I can cut that average in half, I'd be a happy person. But the first few nights, it's real heavy.
Parking is prohibited on 107 miles of main streets between 3 and 7 in the morning with snow or no snow, and the ban will continue through April 1st. Four people were killed, 10 people injured in a shooting during a family gathering at a banquet hall in Stockton, California yesterday. Authorities said the victims include both children and adults. They think it's a targeted incident. No motive's been determined. No one is in custody. Pope Leo has arrived in Beirut, Lebanon. This is part of his first foreign trip, aiming to bring a message of peace to a region with war and tensions. Leo had two key appointments in Istanbul yesterday before flying to Beirut: a prayer at the Armenian Apostolic Cathedral and a divine liturgy with an ecumenical patriarch. This is a big moment for Lebanon after years of various crises. Leo is trying to bring a message of hope to that region, to the long-suffering people, and also help a critical Christian community in the Middle East. American shoppers set a record of nearly $12 billion online on Black Friday. Adobe Analytics, which looks at over 1 trillion U.S. retail sites, expects shoppers to spend another $6 billion on shopping today. On Cyber Monday, they expect the season's biggest shopping online, with over $14 billion in spending. Well, with yesterday's snow, it was also a perfect way to cap off a day of shopping in Lincoln Square together for a tree lighting ceremony.
3, 2, 1,
pull it, Sandy!
That annual event drew a crowd to Giddings Plaza at Lincoln Square. Santa made an appearance also, of course. The crowd kept warm with hot cider and mulled wine from the Donkhaus German Cultural Center. Kids didn't seem to mind the cold and snow at all, of course. WGN Sports Time is 10:04.
It's been a rough stretch for the Blackhawks, who haven't won since November 18th against the Flames. They've gone 0-4-1 during that stretch, and head coach Jeff Blashill is looking for his young team to keep their heads up.
Confidence is a funny thing. It's a huge thing in this game, in sports in general, I guess, in life. And my only answer is you have to kind of earn your own confidence, and you earn it by doing things right. You earn it by your compete and your work ethic. You have to dig in, and I think only the most mentally tough survive this league, and so we're gonna have to be mentally tough and dig in.
Hawks hosting Coach Q and the Ducks this afternoon at the United Center. Charlie Ermeliotis' pregame at 2, and then the face-off with John Weideman and Steve Conrad at 2:30 on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. Bears off today after their big win over the Eagles on Black Friday to move into second place in the NFC. Games of interest for Bears fans today: the Rams at 9-2 on the road at the Panthers, and the Vikings, the only NFC North team in action today at the Seahawks. Vikings starting undrafted free agent quarterback Max Brosmer for his first NFL start. Jack Heinrich, WGN Sports.
After a snowy Saturday, that snow is tapering off as we get later in the day for Sunday. Expect to see temperatures topping out right around freezing. Breezy and definitely on the cloudy side, with few breaks of sun possible just as the day starts ending towards 4 p.m. For tonight, decreasing clouds, breezy, and very cold wind chills. Overnight temperatures around 16, but those wind chills will be in the single digits to the low sub-zero territory, so do watch out and cover yourself if you're going to be having any exposed skin exposed to the cold for any significant period of time. For tomorrow, expect to see mostly cloudy skies, breezy, and a few snow showers, but cold temperatures persist with highs only in the upper end of the 20s. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tim Joyce.
30 degrees at O'Hare, it's 29 at Midway, 32 along the lakefront. Freeport has 28, it's 24 in Valparaiso, Indiana, and we have a wind chill reading of -1. I'm Dave Schwann, WGN News. Next news when it happens. Next scheduled news at 10:30.
Looks like we had a little burst of snow coming down here in downtown
Chicago. We had a burst of snow, and that's going to kind of taper off, as we've been told. Tim Joyce keeping us posted on that. The winter weather advisory in effect now until noon.
Yeah, we're going to hear from meteorologists. We're going to talk with meteorologist Bill Snyder coming up in a few minutes for the update on all of that. So we'll look forward to keeping you posted on everything that you need for the end of this holiday weekend. How about some of these people that get stuck at O'Hare or, you know, different airports with all the cancellations?
Yeah.
You're trying to have a nice Thanksgiving and all of a sudden you're stuck someplace.
And the biggest traffic incident right now is solid traffic on the Kennedy moving into O'Hare.
Uh-huh. And when I was driving in, I saw it all lined up.
Yeah.
Going on the Kennedy.
Yeah.
I think people were trying to get an early start which is not a terrible idea.
And you know, the timing of the storm and the people's timing trying to get in, you're thinking the earlier the better, but the storm isn't helping situation to get to the airport, let alone get to where you want to go after you're at the airport.
Try to keep calm no matter what happens at the airport. Doesn't do any good.
Absolutely.
Doesn't do any good to be yelling at the poor person behind the counter.
Yeah, not at an airport.
It's not their fault.
Yeah, it's not their fault. They're just trying to get you to
the messenger
safely. So if you're going to yell at anybody, I'm happy to give you Schwani's home phone number. He's happy to hear your complaints. That's what we all say this time of year. The cold and snow never bothered us anyway. Let it snow, which is what it continues to do. Good morning and happy Sunday to you, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Happy, if Friday was Black Sunday, Schwani, what does that make today? Is today Black Sunday?
Well, I guess they're continuing, you know, we've got Cyber Monday and...
I'm so confused. I'm so confused with what I should be buying.
Why? Wait a minute. What you should be buying?
Well, yeah. Half of my emails right now are Black Friday sales.
Oh yeah.
For a limited time.
I'm overwhelmed.
And now I'm starting to get Cyber Monday sales for a limited time, and it's exactly the same thing as it was. And God forbid if you should go to any website and look at something. Suddenly you get...
That's all you're getting.
50 emails about whatever that particular product is.
Not to mention the messages that you'll get, inadvertently after you click on the website. They know where you are.
Yeah, they know what you are. They know what you're looking at. They start sending you all these... I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't like that my computer is smarter than I am.
I'm doing away with mine.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to do away with it.
Good luck.
We got by without them before. We can do it again.
I'm going back to the Farmer's Almanac for everything. What's a Farmer's Almanac, Uncle Dean? Do they even still make that?
Yes, they do. Sure they do. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Right. You'll laugh at me when I tell you that it was started like 300 years ago by a man that was known as Dennis the Short.
What do you mean?
I interviewed a number of years ago the editor at the time of the Farmer's Almanac. He was making the rounds here in Chicago, and I interviewed him, thought it'd be a nice feature story, and it was. But I'm a history guy, so I got into the history of the Farmer's Almanac. How did this get started?
Well, wait a minute. Who is this Dennis the Short guy?
That's what they referred to in, you know, British terms.
So he was like a royalty?
He was...
And that's the best royal title they could give
him? It wasn't royalty.
He's only 4 feet tall. Let's call him Dennis the Short.
They called him Dennis the Short, and he probably was 4 feet tall.
And he started the Farmer's Almanac.
He was among those that started the Farmer's Almanac, compiling information largely on weather and... you know, what's going to cure your ailments,
right?
Things like that.
I used to, you know, go to it frequently for...
Did you really?
When I was a young DJ, I used to steal stuff out of it all the time.
I would imagine, you know, they have a newfangled version on the World Wide Web.
Now, I'm told the 815 area code is texted in saying that the Farmer's Almanac will end after 2026.
Oh, is that right?
So
final year next year?
According to this person on the text line, next year.
Wow.
Dennis the Short's reign will end.
Dennis the Short will not be around.
It'll be shorter than...
than you think.
Yeah.
So what are you? What's a good name for you? Dean the something. What should it be? What do you think it should be, Jack?
Yeah, this is a minefield that you're asking Jack to go into right now.
I was hoping to stay out of this.
No, sorry.
Yeah, let's hear what both of you have to say on this. Let's see. Eli, if you want to jump in on this.
Eli's got a good story. Eli's got a good story on how he got to work this morning.
He does.
Yes, yeah,
so it's hilarious.
Wait. Are we changing the subject?
It relates to the weather, I promise.
Okay.
So with all the snowfall out there, typically I walk into the office today, but wasn't in the cards for a morning like this, so I called an Uber, and when we were pulling closer to the station, he was struggling to find a way to get onto Upper Wacker to drop me off at the front door.
Oh, boy.
So we're weaving through Lower Wacker, which is everyone's favorite thing to do on a Sunday morning, until we eventually come out the other side and Lower Wacker turns back into Upper, and I find out my Uber driver has taken me to the Bean on this fine Sunday morning instead of WGN Radio.
Very nice.
Made it here, though. No problem.
I love that.
Nothing like a sidetrack to the Bean.
We have many stories about getting into the old WGN Radio on snow mornings through the years. That is just the latest one.
That's one of them. That's a good one.
Hey, you know who I love talking to any time that I run into him? In the hallways of WGN TV, but especially here on WGN Radio when we have some weather to talk about, and we certainly do. And that is meteorologist Bill Snyder, who is joining us on the phone line right now. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, Bill. Hello.
Hello, Dean. It's great to talk to you, my friend. I hope it was very nice. Yes, with
good
family, and we had a very nice Thanksgiving. How about you?
Very good. Yes, very, very nice. And then we woke up to all this snow coming down.
Oh boy,
yesterday.
Did we?
How much did we wind up getting around the area?
Well, Dean, so here's the latest, hot off the presses. We've got up to 11 inches in Wadsworth, Lindenhurst 10.5. We had 10.3 Round Lake Park, 10.4 in Palatine, 10 inches Hoffman Estates, 10 inches in Skokie, about 8 inches here in the city in Logan Square. We had in Indiana, we had 7 inches in Merrillville, 9.8 at Cedar Lake, 10 inches in Valparaiso. Our official stations, Dean, we had 8.6 at O'Hare, 7.2 at Midway. Now, what's interesting about the 8.6 at O'Hare, 8.4 inches of that fell yesterday on yesterday's calendar day, making it the snowiest November day in our history.
How about that?
We broke a record for the snowiest in history. And what else is interesting about that, Dean, is that the 8.6 or 8.4 inches that fell yesterday, we have not had a snow of that magnitude on a calendar day here in more than a decade.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, so we've had some pretty anemic winters, you know, in recent years, in terms of snowfall. But the last time that O'Hare Field, you know, there could have been other, you know, locations around our area that have certainly seen some bigger snows. I know there were some lake effect events and so forth, but the official station at O'Hare has not had a bigger calendar day snow since the Super Bowl blizzard in February of 2015.
Wow. Oh, I remember well, yeah.
Yeah, 16.2 inches fell on February 1, 2015. The storm total ended up producing about 19.3, one of our, you know, biggest snowstorms in history. But it's interesting, yeah, so it's been a while, and wow, we're off and running to a very, what could be a snowy beginning to winter. I mean, it's not even winter yet. We're still in November, and we start meteorological winter tomorrow. We'd like to use the catalog the seasons, for record keeping purposes. December 1 through end of February is meteorological winter. But wow, the astronomical start of winter isn't for 3 more weeks. So
yeah.
Wow.
So is this an indication of what we might expect for this winter then?
You know, I'll tell you what, Dean, there were some indicators that we look at. We have a weak La Nina going, which we've had some La Ninas in recent winters in the last, 5 or 6 years. But, each one doesn't necessarily respond the same way its predecessor did. So the fact is, some of our weak La Ninas here in Chicago have gone on to produce some banner snow seasons. So that's one of the things that we look at, in terms of indicators, or, we like to look at analogs to see, hey, okay, well, in that winter, what happened? But there's certainly every indication that the start of winter, at least as far as, looking at December, it's not only going to be cold, but it's going to be fairly snowy too. We've got, you know, these systems coming in at regular intervals. I don't see anything on par with what we had yesterday, thankfully, but you know, we've got snow on the ground. It's going to be cold. There's no sign of any kind of a thaw anytime soon, so the snow's not going anywhere. And you know, all these little snows that we may get here down the road will continue to pile up, and it's not going to melt. So that's an interesting trend. And another interesting thing too, Dean, is the last time we had a colder than normal and snowier than normal December was almost a decade ago too, 2016. Wow. So you look at all these numbers and you say, you know, you scratch your head and say, hey, you know, we've been kind of lucky, and Mother Nature, you know, tends to eventually balance herself out. And that may be what we're doing right now, at least for the start of winter.
So it seems like every time I you know, glance out the window here in downtown Chicago, I'm seeing something different. Right now, I'm not seeing anything coming down.
No.
5 minutes ago, it was coming down like crazy.
Right. Another little wave coming in from the north.
Is that how today is going to be? Is it going to be sort of on and off like that today?
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I don't think, you know, we're looking at more of flurries the rest of the day on and off. But you know what? There also will be a little bit of peaks of sun every now and then. I'm looking out my window out here in the western suburbs, and it's not really bright, but there's the sun's trying to peek out a little bit. And so don't be surprised if you see that here throughout the afternoon. But boy, it's going to get cold tonight. And you know how it goes. Any hardy Chicagoan knows that typically when we get, you know, a sizable snowfall, usually the cold follows right behind it. And you know, tomorrow morning we could be, you know, approaching single digits in some of the coldest outlying areas. I don't think we won't be that cold in the city. But you know, the only thing that may protect us from getting colder is some cloud cover. It's not going to be completely clear. If we were talking clear skies tonight, Dean, we'd be definitely down some of the outlying areas. Wouldn't be surprised if they'd be down close to zero. But the fact that we're going to have some clouds, that will check the temperature from getting colder than it would otherwise be. But that being said, you know, temperatures in the 10 to 15 degree range for lows tonight, and you put any wind with that, and you're heading out the door tomorrow morning to work or school, and you're going to be, you know, approached by single-digit wind chills.
So
it's going to be chilly.
Yeah, you talk about being cold. Do we have any relief in sight in the coming week?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, you know, I like to say, hey, we got something to look forward to down the road, but you know, looking out the next week to 10 days, Dean, I think each and every one of the days is going to be below normal. I mean, normal high is still in the lower 40s right now, so we're nowhere close to that. And our warmest temperature here in the next 7 days comes on Wednesday, and we're talking about highs getting up to freezing, and that's it, 32, which is pretty darn cold, and that's again, well below normal. And we have a couple of more snow systems, you know, moving through the area this week that are likely to tack onto our total, and you know, but nothing on par with what we just saw. So that's good. But tomorrow afternoon and evening, Dean, we have another little band of snow coming through, and looks like that could produce, you know, a couple of inches possible. So it doesn't take much in these temperatures, and if it falls at the wrong time, you know, during rush hour, it's going to create some slick spots on the roads for sure.
Yeah, buckle yourselves in. Winter is definitely here in Chicago. I've got a ton of people on our text line asking. They're doing some travel today, coming home or whatever, you know, for the holiday weekend. In this region, up in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Indiana. Anything unusual that they might need to know about?
The system is starting to wind down, so that's good. It's moving east. So the bulk of the you know really threatening accumulating snow is moving out. So that's good news. But and they actually had a little bit less snow, I think, up in Wisconsin than we did here. So that's good news. If you're traveling from there down to back to Chicago, it should be a little bit, the road should be a little bit improved there. But here locally, you know, our plows have been working hard throughout the night and through the morning. And so I would expect with not, you know, seeing any additional, you know, accumulating snow here throughout the day, that road conditions will continue to improve for anyone driving back. And certainly that's good news.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on all of that and keep people updated today. Bill, for how many years did you work with Tom Skilling at WGN-TV?
I worked with Tom for 27 years, and, you know, what a pleasure it was. And, you know, a lot of the things that I bring to the table today, and I work with Demetrius Ivory. We have a great team of Alyssa Donovan, and, you know, I try to bring some of that, you know, breadth and knowledge working with, you know, a man that I consider who's, you know, the czar of weather forecasting.
Yeah,
you know,
he's the weather goat. He is the weather goat, Tom Skilling.
Oh, no question about it.
No question about it.
And, you know, he's still, Dean, he's still, even though he's away from the day-to-day operations, he's still doing some stories for us every now and then on WGN, some feature stories, which are great and informative. So he still keeps himself involved with it, but spends a lot of time in Hawaii.
He's still giving us, like, weather forecasts for Chicago from his balcony in
balcony,
Hawaii.
Yeah, yes.
And snorkeling, and you got to follow him. It's crazy what he's doing in his retirement. But I gotta ask you, how much fun are you guys having on this WGN Plus show that you're doing?
You know, the forecasters. I'll tell you something. It's a little bit of extra work, but we are having fun with it, and I think we're you know, we're creating ourselves a little niche there, and you know, I do it with nightly with Demetrius and Tim Joyce. When he's there, he joins us, and we figure the more the better, and we're just we've created a nice little audience, and people are starting to write in and take note of it. And what's great about it too now, Dean, is that we're able to if you're not home, you can catch us on your WGN app. So if you download that on your smartphone, you can watch us there. You can watch us on your laptop iPad. So that's really cool you can watch us anywhere.
It's on the WGN Plus TV app. It's available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and Samsung
Smart TVs. Nightly Monday through Friday from at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
We're live 7 to 7:30. So we get off the early evening news, and we kind of jump right into our streaming show. We have a great producer that works with us, and you know, we try to focus on some other stories that might be noteworthy nationally, in addition to having a little fun with it too. We have a little banter with Demetrius and I, and we talk about we have a little segment we like to do, Dean, with our viewers. It's called We Bet on Weather, and we pick a location because Demetrius has fun with it, but we pick a location somewhere across the country, and we have our viewers predict what the high temperature is going to be on a given day. And whoever's closest, they get a little credit on our leaderboard. And, you know, we were even able to give away a shirt to one of our viewers the other day, forecaster shirt. So, it's great. It's great. We're having fun with it.
Yeah, it was the actual shirt that Demetrius was wearing that day. So it's, you know, extra special.
That's
treat.
Right.
Bill Snyder, meteorologist, weather producer at WGN. We always appreciate when you can jump on with us here, pal. Hope you have a great day today.
It's always great to talk to you. You too. Stay warm, everyone.
Want to hear some weather reports being texted into us?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we've got all kinds of snow totals.
Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, light snow, slippery roads. Arlington Heights, 10 inches of snow. Yeah, we had reports of basically between 8 and 10 inches of snow around the Chicago area.
Right.
708 area code says driving home from Michigan on 94 right now. Conditions are dicey.
Yeah, they would be. They would be.
Aware of dicey conditions out there.
There are 94, and also the Indiana Toll Road can be very, very dangerous.
Isn't that always a mess, though?
Yes.
That stretch is always a mess.
Yes, right? Yes, it is.
But especially because it's so open, I'm guessing that the blowing and drifting out that way has got to be adding to that.
Yeah. In addition, since we're talking about northern northwest Indiana, two accidents now on I-65. Jackknife trailer has been in place south of State Road 114 for a while now, and also an accident on the right shoulder on 65 near 109th Avenue. They often close that stretch of I-65 when it really gets rough out there.
Yeah. Here's another text from the 708 area code. Good morning, Dean and Schwanee. Thank you for bringing so many smiles and laughs to me and your listeners on Sunday morning. We're making a real difference, especially in times of life's challenges.
Wow.
That's what we set out to do every week, right?
Well, I think we've accomplished our goal there.
I think we do. I think by us being idiots, we make lives better. 773 area code. Dean, thank you for entertaining me while I'm doing my Christmas cookie power baking. I'm grateful for you and the team. That's nice.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Would be even better if we had some of those cookies.
I was thinking that myself.
I could go for a half a dozen or so chocolate chip cookies and maybe a gallon of milk right now. That would be nice.
Oh, boy.
Yummy. It is absolutely classic, right? The song itself, White Christmas, that we know from the motion picture White Christmas, with Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, Vera Ellen. And now it has evolved into Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which is the production that is currently out at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, which I had the pleasure of seeing this past Sunday night. And first of all, when you step into the Paramount Theater, it's a gorgeous theater anyway, but they really decked the place out for the holidays. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And they have a giant Christmas tree in the lobby, and everybody's taking pictures, with the tree. So many families, I noticed, that have come together for like a family outing to the theater to see this, classic musical. And boy, is it worth seeing. I can't recommend it enough. It is, basically the same story that you know from the motion picture. A couple of army buddies who come to the aid of their retired general, who is now running an inn in Vermont. And there's no snow, so there are no guests. So these two army buddies decide to throw a big show to drum up some business. They are joined by a couple of sisters who are also performers who join. It's basically the same story that you know from the movie, with a few more songs added in that are not in the motion picture. But here's the deal. These songs are so beautifully performed by this cast that is at the Paramount Theater. It's the performances, it's the beautiful sets, but I'll tell you what really blew me away with the show, the dancing. There is just one amazing dance number after another in this show. Spectacular, spectacular dance numbers that I think, just make this show such a family event. I can't recommend it enough. So if you're interested, you want to get to ParamountAurora.com to get ticket information. It's going to be running until, I don't have the notes in front of me here, but I believe it's until January 11th. It's running way past the new year, so you have plenty of opportunities to get out and see it. Highly, highly recommended. Always love what they do at the Paramount in Aurora. Now, the next show that we're going to be seeing will be 1 week from today. We're going to be going out to the Drury Lane in Oak Brook for another Dean's Night Out, as a matter of fact. Just like we did at the Paramount last week, we're hosting some of our listeners. We're giving away some tickets to come and join me to see the show, but also join me at a pre-show meet and greet reception. So we'll get to hang out, we'll get to have a few nibbles, get to have a few sips, and then go in and enjoy this adaptation of the Whoopi Goldberg movie Sister Act, which is playing out at the Drury Lane. If you would like, today is your final opportunity to enter to win tickets for joining us out at the Drury Lane for Sister Act. You need to go to WGNRadio.com/contests, and it'll tell you exactly how you can enter. We'll pick, I believe it's 10 winners for a pair of tickets each to join me next Sunday out at the Paramount in Aurora, at the Drury Lane, Oakbrook, for a sister act. WGNradio.com/contest. And maybe we'll get to hang out a little bit right before that show. When we come back from the break, the director of Sister Act at the Drury Lane, E. Faye Butler, joins us next. 10:47, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. The Week in Theater, talking about the latest production on stage at the Drury Lane Theater on Oakbrook Terrace. And it is an adaptation of the old Whoopi Goldberg movie, the 1992 movie Sister Act, in which Whoopi rocks the pulpit. This production is being directed by one of my longtime favorites here in the Chicago area, both on stage and behind, the great E. Faye Butler, who is on the line with me right now. Hello there, my friend.
Hello, Dean. How are you, my gorgeous darling?
Oh, aren't you nice? Yeah, you better check your glasses, but I appreciate it. It's wonderful to hear your voice, and I'm hearing nothing but great things about Sister Act. I can't wait to see it. Next week,
great.
We'll be coming out with a group of listeners to see it. But
that's fabulous.
Are you having a great time? Putting this...
Oh, I had an absolutely amazing time directing this this piece. You know, I've got a long history with nuns because I did nun since for about 400
right,
years.
Right, that's right.
So, so when it came to doing Sister Act, I was really excited about doing it because it is a little different from the movie. And I wanted to make sure that we celebrated that and all that the movie, all that the musical represents for us, especially in the times that we are right now. I think it's a perfect holiday show, and it reminds us of all the good things in life that remember that we are good enough just as we are, and that brotherhood and sisterhood is still alive and well, and coming together and forgiving and loving one another, even when we don't even know one another, is a good thing. Choosing your own families, you know, your chosen family is the family you're supposed to be with, and remembering all those wonderful and bright things. So it was just a joy to be able to celebrate that and to do that every night.
Yeah, nothing but positivity that comes out of this. And boy, you know, do we ever need that in the world right now?
Yes.
That's what makes this so special. You say it's different from the movie. In what ways will people, you know, find some new things that you've put in?
Well, I think the difference is, I think a lot of people think that in the movie, the first movie, they didn't sing that much. And in this one, the music is totally different from the movie. So the music you heard in the film is not the music that's been written for the musical,
okay,
Sister Act. It's totally different. And it truly is music that's iconic to our ears of the 70s music.
Ah.
That music from 77, 78. If we can remember Journey and Chicago and Carly Simon and the Philadelphia Sound, you know, remember Barry White?
Sure.
And the Travaris and all of those groups of that period, that's what this music actually celebrates, the emotions. That's kind of the music track behind the musical,
okay,
the show.
All right. So talk to me a little about your cast. I'm hearing that they explode on stage.
They absolutely do. And I think the reason they explode is because 90% of the folks that are on this stage are people that have always been bridesmaids, but never brides or grooms. And so they're getting their really good first shot at being the stars that they actually are. And it's so wonderful when we allow and celebrate new talent that never gets to step forward and just be there and have their moment in the light. And that's what makes me so happy when I watch this cast. And I think that's why people are talking about this particular group of people, is because they are shining in the light that they've always wanted to shine in. And people are celebrating them. And they're celebrating one another on stage. And to see that is a beautiful thing, because we didn't always start at the top. I think some of us forget when we go to the theater. We're so used to seeing the same folks. that sometimes it's hard for us to embrace new people. And in this production, you're going to embrace a lot of people you haven't seen before or people we haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
On stage in Chicago. And that's a celebration in itself.
Yeah. Ray Davenport, Michelle Duffy, Lawrence Flowers, Rachel Carreras, Kelly Ann Clark, Christine Malin Perkins, Kelvin Rostin Jr., Meg Thalkin, Amanda Walker, mm-hmm. some of the names that kind of lead you through this production, which is, by the way, running through January 11th. I love that these holiday productions are running past Christmas because
right.
people are so busy, you know, this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of these shows you want to bring the whole family out to
yes.
to see these shows.
Yes.
Expose your kids to live theater, number one. But this is the perfect kind of message and the perfect kind of show to let your kids get, you know, involved in.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I'm telling you guys, make sure you bring your crowd early because the pre-show music and the intermission music is on fire. All of those tunes that I just named by all of those artists, Donny Hathaway from the 70s is playing throughout the entire 30 minutes before the show and at intermission. And that's a party. I love seeing people, you know, of all ages dancing in the aisles at intermission and when they come in the theater.
Right.
That's where the party begins.
I don't know why people complain when I do it in the theaters, though.
Well, they should. They just don't know good taste.
I get up and I'm singing and dancing. And they say, hey, Baldy, sit down. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. All right. So tell me.
I don't either.
I know you have done directing before. Are you enjoying the behind the scenes work as much as you did when you were on stage and you were the one captivating the audience with your enormous talent?
I really do, Dean, because I'm blessed enough to have had such a great career, and I try to still do one show a season. So this year, don't tell anybody, Dean, but this season I'm going to do Ma Rainey at the Goodman, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, my goodness. Okay? Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's fantastic.
But this is a secret. Please don't tell anybody.
Nobody listens to this show. Don't worry.
Okay. Yep. So we won't know about that.
Yep.
But I try to do one a season just to keep my chops tight.
Yeah.
But I love the fact of being behind the table because it allows me to give a lot of pearls of wisdom to all of the amazing directors that I have had the fortune to work with. I like to pass those on. And what better way to be in that seat and just help guide these amazing actors that are finding their footing, some of them that haven't been on stage in a while, and just give them the energy and the positivity that we all need as artists sometimes to keep us going. And so I love that when I could see someone say to me, I didn't know that, or that's an old trick. I said, yeah, because we learned that stuff the hard way when I was coming along.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have microphones and all of the luxuries that some of them had. You know what I'm
right.
saying? It was like,
yeah.
They used to tell us, sing to the deaf woman in the back and the blind man up at the top. And
yeah.
I go, what?
Yeah.
And we had to fill the theater. And so to know that I'm able to pass those forward and work with new, amazing designers that are coming into the business. First of all, I am so excited because I have on my team, my creative team, we were able to employ 16 women in positions that a few years ago wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, to have a female lighting designer and female sound co-designers, to have an entire female stage, you know, management crew, and have an assistant, all the lots of young folks, lots of women, lots of folks of color, just making sure that we keep it going
yeah.
and that everybody is enjoying the theater. That gives me joy. So I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. This was a blessing I was supposed to do, and I tell people this is my second act. And this second act is going really well for me.
Yeah.
And I thank Chicago for supporting me in it. So thank you.
I personally couldn't be happier for you. You are one of the most talented that we've had on Chicago stages. And now behind the scenes in directing. But also one of the nicest people that I personally met through the years. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Dean. You're always gracious. You're so gracious. Thank you.
And you know what I always think about? I mean, I've seen you in so many shows, But I remember being blown away when you played Dinah Washington. I think it was the North Shore Center up in Skokie.
Yeah. Northlight Theater. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I sat there and I was completely just flabbergasted at how you just engulfed yourself in the music of this, classic and wonderful performer.
Yes.
And you've done it over and over again in different roles as well. Do you have a favorite, something that you've done over your career that was one of your favorite performances?
Dinah definitely was one of the favorites. I think doing Ella Fitzgerald was a great one for me, too.
Wow.
I'm working on a new project about Pearl Bailey that I'm really, really excited about. Doing Mama Rose and Gypsy was really, really a lot of fun and exciting for me. Doing Carolina Change. So I've had some roles that I couldn't do them again, but I enjoyed doing them and they were amazing for me. And so when I think about stuff like that, I've been really, really, really blessed. And it makes me very grateful at this time of year, especially, and thankful to my family and all the friends and everybody that supports me. I thank you. And I know I'm blessed and I'm giving those blessings back. I'm passing them forward. So that's the best I can do. And just to let you know, I'm talking with BJ Jones because, Northlight is moving back home to Evanston.
Right. I know.
And so we got Dinah Washington on the schedule. Maybe I'll be in a different seat this time.
Oh, man.
But I'm going to be in a different seat this time.
All right. I'm going to look forward to that. Yeah. And you coming to the Goodman. And in the meantime, you can enjoy the talents that Ife Butler brings as director of Sister Act at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. It's playing through January 11th. You want to get some info and some tickets, you can go right to the Drury Lane website, or you can, it's drurylanetheater.com, or you can call 630-530-0111. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday today, and I look forward to seeing you soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
I will. Thank you, and I love you with all my heart. You know that.
Goes right back to you. Thank you, dear. So you've been reporting on the Pope's visit to Turkey.
Yes.
The historic visit that he made there, which is pretty cool.
Yes, Istanbul and Ankara, which is the capital, actually, of Turkey, not Istanbul.
Well, here's,
Ankara.
Yeah, here's an interesting side story that happened on the plane going there.
Oh, I think I know what this is. Yeah,
the Pope is on the papal airline with a bunch of reporters, and CBS News foreign correspondent Chris Livesay gave a gift to the Pontiff. It was a bat once owned by Hall of Fame second baseman Nellie Fox. White Sox Hall of Famer Nellie Fox, because he played with the White Sox in the 50s when the 70-year-old Pope was just a kid.
Growing up in Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Right?
I think of that every time I see something with the Pope on TV or a picture or something online, I think.
He's from Dalton.
Here, this man is from Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah. He may have gone to the same Barnaby's that we went to.
Trying to sneak beers. He went to the same Aurelio's that I had been to in Homewood.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, me too. Yeah. This is funny. Livesay, the reporter, said, "This used to be Nellie Fox's baseball bat. My parents' generation is from Chicago. It's got his initials on the butt of the bat." So this was a family heirloom of the reporter, Chris Livesay, and he gave it as a gift to the Pope. But this is the part that I love. The Pope, quite a sense of humor. His comment on receiving this gift, "How did you get that through security?" That's perfect. Do you recognize the voice in this little whimsical version of Frosty the Snowman? Listen to his voice here.
Oh, that's Nat King Cole.
There you go.
I have never heard this.
That's Nat King Cole with, as the record label says, the singing Pussycats. Love this. Yeah, singing Pussycats.
Boy, that is straight out of the late 1950s, isn't
it? That actually is from the year 1950.
Oh, the year 1950?
Yeah. Nat King Cole has had so many classic Christmas songs. The Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, being probably the number one. But, I think of all the classic singers, you know, no disrespect to anybody else, but Nat King Cole is my favorite of the Christmas songs. I love Nat King Cole songs better than any other.
That whole album is
wonderful. Especially
wonderful.
Now that I know about the Singing Pussycats.
You have to have that.
Yeah.
That whole album, which is called the Christmas Song with Nat King Cole, that whole album's great.
Yeah.
You know who wrote the Christmas song, don't you?
A Chicagoan.
Yes.
From the South Side.
Yes.
Graduate of Hyde Park High School.
Yes.
Mr. Mel Torme.
Correct.
How about that?
And who wrote the lyrics?
Mel Torme.
No, Robert Wells.
Really?
Yes.
I thought Mel Torme wrote both lyrics and...
He wrote the music. He wrote the music for it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. What do we know about Robert Wells?
Nothing.
Okay, then. All right. Well, it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song nonetheless, even though we don't know squat about the guy that wrote the lyrics.
But Nat King Cole did two versions of the Christmas song, one on the famous album with Ralph Carmichael, and the was the music director on that album.
Yes.
But then... in the late 40s, mid to late 40s, he did a version with his trio, with a guitarist, Oscar Moore, and his bass player. Piano, guitar, and bass.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The trio. The Nat
the Nat King Cole trio, right. Yeah,
those are like so smooth and so clean.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. Mm-hmm. I love Nat King Cole. I love... There have been some digitally redone versions of the song with Nat King Cole and his daughter, Natalie Cole, doing the song. And there's a great version with Nat King Cole and Michael Bublé.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, we're definitely worth listening to.
Yeah, that would be fun. Oh. Definitely.
It's our music chat for hunk of the show. What's your favorite Christmas song?
I think that might be it, really. That one.
Nat?
And with Nat... Yeah, I think that might be it. Another great album from that era, Ella Fitzgerald's album. Oh, you know, I'm a big Ella Fitzgerald person.
Oh yeah.
So,
All right, let's see what the younger generation thinks about this.
Jack, I'm sure you have all those records, don't you?
Oh yeah.
What's a record?
I know what a record is. Shawnee showed me them.
What's your favorite?
That's right.
What's your favorite Christmas song though?
I like White Christmas. Like, Bing Crosby.
Really? You like the Bing Crosby version?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Iconic.
I thought you would have liked the a Sabrina Carpenter Christmas song.
Oh, that's not up my alley.
Oh, because you like country music.
I do. Luke Combs.
Yeah.
Luke needs a Christmas album.
Doesn't have one?
I don't think so.
I thought they forced all the artists to do Christmas albums.
Pretty much.
The minute they sign them, they make them do Christmas albums. Eli?
Oh, I think it's fine. I'm a country music fan, too. Also a big Luke Combs fan. But I think my favorite would probably... I love Silent Night.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
And the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line a couple years ago recorded a Christmas album in the middle of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And they re-recorded Silent Night just singing to the tune of, like, the Eagles fight song.
Yeah.
And I'm not an Eagles fan by any means, but I think it's really
funny. Is that the one
that,
what's his name?
Jason Kelsey.
The other Kelsey was on that, right?
Yeah, it's his album.
Yeah.
And I love the Silent Night cover on that.
Yeah, those are good. Leon Rimes has got a great Christmas album. There's some good Christmas. I enjoy it. I wouldn't listen to any Christmas music until Thanksgiving was over, because I'm nuts. But now I'm dabbling in it again.
You're dabbling in it again?
I am. You've got to ease back into it.
Yeah. I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to overdo it. That's the problem. All right. Well, I guess we've milked that as far as we can. You know what? Because so many people are traveling today. What's the latest on the delays at the airport?
Delays at the airport. The delays themselves, averaging about 15 to 20 minutes.
That's not bad.
We now have an increase in cancellations at O'Hare, 250 so far, and still eight at Midway. And the roads, we're encountering a lot of, as we've been reporting all morning, you know, the traffic accidents and so forth, especially in northwest Indiana there. We've seen accidents on I-65, and there was an earlier one on the Indiana Toll Road. I don't know if you saw the picture yesterday of Interstate 70 near Terre Haute, Indiana. 45 cars piling up there.
Yeah, I did see that.
That's been reopened.
Yeah, that's. Can you imagine being involved in something like that?
No,
I cannot.
You know, it's one of those chain reaction things, and you're caught up in that, and you don't know where you're going to go, and you don't know when it's going to stop.
Exactly. Well, we'll keep you posted on the latest with airport delays. We'll keep you posted on weather. The beginning of the show, we spoke with the Commissioner of Streets and Sanitation for the City of Chicago, Cole Stollard, and he gave us an update on what is going on with the roads around the Chicago area. City of Chicago Streets and Sand Commissioner Cole Stollard is on with us right now just to give us a little update. Commissioner, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. How are you, sir?
Hey, after listening to you two, I thought I was going to have to come on and talk about my wife's cornbread make. Yeah, bread. She made the same thing.
It's delicious, right?
Snow, though, I hope.
It's delicious. Yeah. If you got to go outside and clean the streets of Chicago, you got to have some cornbread casserole in your belly. That's for sure. So how do we do with the sure looks like the streets are pretty clear this morning. Give us the update on where we are in the city of Chicago this morning.
Well, I never like to say how we did because I like to hear from the people of Chicago because they're going to tell us how we did. You know, they're not shy in telling us. So hopefully we did good. You know, people got to get back and forth where they were coming from. We know we had a lot of college kids in for the holiday week, and hopefully they all got back safely. But we've been working this. We're still on the mains. We just took a little blast within the last hour, and we're going to be transitioning to those neighborhood streets within hopefully the next hour, hour and a half.
How many people do you have out on the streets this morning?
It'll be over 250. We're just doing a switch right now.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are watching Plow Tracker, because people like to watch that too, you'll see them bunched up in certain areas. Those are our yards. But, yeah, we'll be out on the street within the next half hour, a little over 250.
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't really jump on any side streets at all, but the main streets that I took in this morning, everything is pretty clear and pretty dry, despite the, you know, some flurries that are still coming down this morning. I'd say we got through this storm pretty clear. You know, a lot of times it can overwhelm us, but it seems like everybody knew what was going to happen, and you guys were definitely ready for it.
Yeah, no, the weather forecasters, they were spot on with this one. It was no mystery. It was coming straight out of the west, heading east. And, again, we're just dealing with this one little clipper system that came through that just put, without as much traffic, you know, if this was a weekday, traffic would pretty much chew all that snow up for us. But we want to make one more pass before we hit to those residential streets.
Good deal. So we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, we've got the overnight parking ban, which begins tonight. Explain, all the details of that so people aren't surprised tomorrow morning when they get up to go to work.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for saying tonight. That's my main message. It's tonight. Tonight at 3 o'clock. So Sunday night into Monday, clock strikes midnight. It's December 1st. So we're out there at 3 in the morning. We don't want your car. We don't want your car. It's on 107 miles, and those are all on bus routes.
So in like a situation like this where we got, you know, up at O'Hare, I'm hearing we were at like right around 8.9 inches of snow. Down south, I'm hearing 7.2. But if we can't get that snow and then we get a freeze like we're going to get during the week, that stuff will sit there and bury these cars in. So we have to, this is a tool we have to keep those main roads clear and those bus routes clear for fire, police, ambulance, you know, CTA, PACE, and people. So people can move. You know, we got almost a million people a week coming in here, moving around. So plus the 2.7 that live here, we got to keep it moving. You know, so it's a tool we have. You know, we average about 63 to 65 cars a night from December 1st to April 1st. If I can cut that average in half, I'd be a happy person. But the first few nights, it's real heavy because we flyer the route. We try to, you know, come on platforms like yours and, you know, been putting it out on our social, you know, press releases. Just try to get that message out because we don't want your car.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's December 1st. It sneaks up on you. Suddenly it's here. And you forget that we've had this parking ban, overnight parking ban, for years now. So, you know, just find someplace else to park so... Cole can get his guys and ladies out there to clean things up so we don't have to look at these gigantic piles of ice all winter long. If you do forget and you do leave your car out there, there's a chance that you could get towed out of there, correct?
Yeah, oh, you'll get towed. If you're parked on one of those 107 miles, you're on the south side, you'll be going to Doty, and if you're on the north side, you'll be going to Sacramento to retrieve your car. It's $150 plus $60 ticket and, you know, $25 a day storage fee. So let's not end a great weekend that, you know, we had. We had our Bears winning on Friday, and, you know, you'll get to enjoy some snow for today with the kids out in front, but let's not end it on a negative. Let's move those cars tonight.
Yeah, just park someplace else tonight, and you'll be look for the signs. If there are no signs there, you'll be okay. But keep an eye out for that. Thank you for taking a couple of minutes, Cole, to talk to us. Keep us posted if anything unusual happens. Cole Stollard is the commissioner, City of Chicago Streets and Sanitation. Thank you, sir. Have a great Sunday.
You too, Dean. Thank you.
Coming up in a couple of minutes here, my A-list interviews with the stars of Wicked for Good. Texter Schwani in the 708 area code asks, between Dave and Dean, which one is Galinda? Which one is Alphaba? I have my thoughts on that. What's your take on that?
No comment.
I think... Because one is the good witch and one's the wicked witch.
Well, I'll go with...
I think I'm... Let me just say it so you don't have to. I think I'm Alphaba. Not wicked, but just misunderstood.
You're misunderstood, yes.
Yeah. Was that what you were going to say?
I wasn't going to say you were misunderstood, no.
You were going to say I'm wicked?
Oh, but you're wicked for good. You're wicked for good.
I see myself more as the wizard, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum is great.
A little nutty.
Yeah.
A little. talk about being misunderstood. Who are you in this movie? Let's see. Because you're not exactly Glinda.
No.
You're not Alphaba. I don't know who you are in this movie.
Without giving things away, because we've been talking about... references to the original Wizard of Oz. Yeah. There. Interesting the way they work in, like, the Tin Man and Scarecrow.
You learn where the origin of
it. Yeah, right. The Cowardly Lion.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I've figured out who you are in this movie.
Who? Or what? Or what?
I think you're one of the flying monkeys.
I was going to say, that's what I believe.
It is 11:38. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with my A-list interviews with the stars. And Thanksgiving weekend is always one of the big movie weekends of the year. This one proved no different. with a huge opening weekend for Zootopia 2. Not a surprise to me that the movie that is a little more of a family film, you know, one you can take the kids to, would make more money than anything else, significantly more money than everything else. It is rated PG, so, you know, really it was the perfect thing to take the kids to. And as I said in my review of it this past Friday, or Wednesday rather, when it opened, it's one that the kids will enjoy, that the adults will also really love. It's a pretty smart movie, script-wise. The voice characterizations, the voice talent in them were great. Jason Bateman, Jennifer Goodwin, who else? A whole variety of voices from the first Zootopia movie are back in here again, but exquisite animation, visually quite beautiful, and everyone really seeming to enjoy it. I've heard nothing but good things from people who've checked it out. The new number one movie in the nation for the holiday weekend, Zootopia 2, with $38.5 million. Wicked for Good has dropped to the number two spot, still taking in a very sizable box office amount, with just over $26 million, and then a huge drop-off after that. The number three movie is Now You See Me, Now You Don't, with only $2.6 million. Predator Badlands came in fourth place, and The Running Man brings up the top five with $1.4 million. We have been very fortunate to be able to sit down with the stars of Wicked. And I wanted to pull a couple of sound bites out of the full interviews that we did with the stars from when the first movie opened up, the first half of the movie opened up, in which we sat down with all the stars and the director, John M. Chu, to talk about the making of this film. And that included Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo.
From the moment we met, we knew we loved each other.
Yeah.
And we had made a commitment to take care of each other, mm-hmm. and to be our fullest, most honest selves, mm-hmm. because that was the way we would be able to take the best care of each other, mm-hmm. you know? And we really did.
Yeah, and we really had that conversation. That actual conversation happened with us.
The first day.
The very first day.
And
like,
from
we
there?
We are agreeing to take care of each other. And whatever you need, I have. And whatever I need, you have.
Nothing you can't say.
Yeah. And that's how we conducted ourselves within our relationship, outside of the characters, which I think just gave us the permission to do that with the characters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to comment on your... Please. Wow. Look at that.
Aren't they the best?
Ariana, aren't you afraid she'll put out your eye?
Oh, never. No. It would be my honor. Please poke them out.
I would never.
Please poke them out.
I was injured with Cynthia's nails. Yeah, exactly. She had the most elaborate manicure I've ever seen and super long nails at the same time. Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo talking about having each other's back. Nothing was more evident than that than when they were doing one of their premieres. They did about eight different premieres around the world. In Singapore, some guy jumps out from behind the barricades at the red carpet and charges Ariana Grande. And Cynthia Erivo literally stepped in and diverted the guy. You don't want to mess with Cynthia Erivo. We also had the pleasure of talking with The Wizard and Fierro, the great Jeff Goldblum, and Jonathan Bailey about their roles in this film.
Talk to me about playing this iconic character. Do you take inspiration from the stage version? Do you take inspiration from the original movie, The Wizard of Oz? From where does your wizard come?
Yes, everything. I'm like jazz musicians. We were talking about this before. Some actors go, oh no, I don't want to see anybody else's version. It's going to interfere with my own unique.
Right.
I don't go with that so much. I figure I can make things my own, but I like taking in as much information, anybody else who's played it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I may be wrong, but that's my little laboratory thinking at this point. So, but yes, I feel thrilled to have been honored to be on the shoulders of many giants.
And we get a little bit of a song out of you in this.
A little bit of a snippet of a song, as you see. I don't like to be tuneful.
You love to be tuneful.
No, I do. That's true.
You do love to be tuneful. And I notice, I'm just trying to figure out, do you do this for effect?
Dramatic effect? No. Yeah. Here's why I do it. Because, now that you've asked, I'm a little myopic.
Huh.
So to see you,
yeah.
Clearly, these are perfect. To see you, this is perfect. This is good. I can eat, I can read like this, but when it gets around here...
The glasses have to go back on.
Have to come
it's
on.
Very dramatic when you do that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the great and always a little weird Jeff Goldblum taking his glasses on and off. We also spoke with Marissa Bodie, who plays Nessa Rose in the films, and Bach... Ethan Slater, who had some Chicago roots that we discussed.
Ethan, the last time that I talked with you, you were on my radio show.
Yeah.
When you were doing SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. Was that the last time?
In Chicago. I think so.
Wow.
I think so. It was a long, long time ago. And you had, I think you had a good Chicago experience being there, right?
I loved Chicago. And I also did Goodnight Oscar there.
That's right.
So I think we maybe ran into each other briefly then, but I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite theater cities and one of my favorite cities in the world.
Why do you think Wicked has such a phenomenally enormous appeal?
Well, I think for me it's a combination of two things. One is that the score is just, you leave it singing it. You know, you want to hear it forever. But I think at its core it's the story of these two women, Glinda and Elphaba, and their relationship... their platonic, their friendship that needs to transcend their differences in order to sort of change the world.
Yeah, there you go. Ethan Slater talking about Wicked. I give a lot of the credit to the director of these two films, John M. Chu. I can't even imagine the vision and the creativity that this man has to create this visual wonderland that he has for both of these movies. And when we sat down to chat with him, he explained a little more.
We get to turn the audiences right into 2 inches from their face when they're singing, "Something has changed within me, something's not the same." And those words coming from Cynthia's eyes and mouth is like, it resonates in a way where words just aren't enough. And I felt very lucky that we got to do that.
The chemistry between Ariana and Cynthia is tangible.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than I've seen in years with an on-screen duo. Did it even surprise you once they got started?
100%. They never chemistry read together. So we did this blind. They had chemistry read with other people. I never thought the combination of Ari and Cynthia would be the right combo. But it was very clear in all the Galindas that Ari was the most interesting person to watch. I just wanted to see more. It was a discovery, it felt like, in a weird way. And Cynthia, even though we know her power, her as Elphaba changed that character.
Yeah, they were remarkable performances all the way around, but especially Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo as Galinda and Elphaba. I've heard so many different takes on this movie. I gave it a Dean's List A. I really liked it. And I thought it was just as good as the first movie, but in a different way. The second half of Wicked, For Good, is a little darker. It's a little more intense, just like the stage musical is. It's true to the original stage musical. But everything else that comes with it, the visuals, the performances, everything, are fantastic. So I loved it. That said, I have heard a variety of different reviews for this movie from the public, not from other reviewers have also had their opinions, but I'm always interested in what our viewers think, what our listeners think, and their takes on them. And as I have always said, there is no right or wrong review. It's just a lot of people have different opinions on these movies, and all of them are perfectly valid. I want to open up the phone lines for a couple of minutes, and our text line as well. If you've seen Wicked for Good. What was your take on it? What did you think of it? I want to spend a few minutes just sharing some other reviews other than my own on this. 312-981-7200 for your Wicked reviews. Transform your home into a winter wonderland with a trip to Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington. It all starts when you enter Tree Time's gigantic, stunning showroom store filled with trees, and more trees, the most realistic, natural-looking artificial Christmas trees you've ever seen. Tree Time has the largest variety of styles and sizes. You'll see trees decorated with the latest trends to inspire your own holiday display, plus a huge selection of the latest lights, decorative ornaments, wreaths, and garland, all at factory direct prices. Be sure to check out their great gift ideas. What makes Tree Time truly special are their on-site design experts to help you create your own perfect customized holiday look. The Black Friday sale's on now at Tree Time, the number one Christmas decoration destination. Tree Time Christmas Creations on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, or visit treetime.com. Alrighty, it is 11:52, and this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Coming up in our next half hour, meteorologist Bill Snyder talking about the storm that we had yesterday, talking about what we can expect for the rest of today, one of the busier travel days of the year, and also especially talking about what we are going to be encountering next week with weather. All of that is coming up after 12 o'clock. And also, we're going to get into our Food Time show. We haven't had a full Food Time segment for a while because we've been preempted by Hamp and OB. But since there is no Hamp and OB today, we go all the way till 1 o'clock. And we'll have some time to talk food and, you know, Thanksgiving leftover ideas. And also, I want to start transitioning into some Christmas recipes. And I think, you know, early on, what people are thinking about are holiday parties and what you can serve at holiday parties, Christmas appetizers. So we'll get into that coming up after 12 o'clock today as well. So stick around for that. All right, so I wanted to talk a little bit more about Wicked, Wicked for Good. And 847 area code here says, please no Wicked spoilers. Absolutely, we would never spoil things at all. We would never give anything that would spoil the movie. But I think we can talk about it without, you know, spoiling anything. For example, here's the 708 area code saying, Dean, we saw the original Broadway cast on Broadway. Wow. That's pretty special. Kristen Chenoweth and, oh my gosh, I'm completely forgetting.
Idina Menzel, right?
Idina Menzel. Yes, thank you. I was thinking of the John Travolta mispronunciation of her name at the Academy Awards, but wow, to get to see both of them on Broadway. That's special. Anyway, we saw the original cast on Broadway. We saw both movies and loved them all. I will end up purchasing Wicked for Good as I did the first movie, and we don't have kids. I can totally understand that. I think this is a movie with some really positive you know, stories, in addition to it being the story of how the witches from the original Wizard of Oz movie came to be. And as we learn in this movie how some of the other characters from the original Wizard of Oz movie came to be, I think there are some life lessons here about friendship and loyalty and, you know, being who you are all in this film. Here is another point of view. Wicked might be number one. Actually, it's number two this week, but this says Wicked may be number one, but it's impossible to sideline the bizarre and seemingly unhealthy relationship of the stars that's plastered all over the media. The interviews are keeping people away. I don't know what you're talking about the bizarre and seemingly unhealthy relationship of the stars. There's nothing bizarre about two actors who are friends, who care about each other, and when one is being attacked on the red carpet, that the other steps in to protect him. I don't think that there's anything unhealthy or bizarre about that at all. I have no idea what you're talking about there, but hey, you know what? You're entitled to your opinion, whatever it is that you think that is. Here's the 630 area code that says, loved Wicked. Simply loved Wicked. Good. I'm glad that you enjoyed. 708 area code says, I liked Wicked for good, like the first one. It flies by. Couldn't agree with you more about that. It's very interesting that the first movie was 3 hours plus. The second movie was 2 hours and 15 minutes. It was, you know, about a full hour less, shorter. And I thought the first, I am not a fan of 3 hour movies. Normally I'm looking at my watch. I'm tapping my foot. I can't wait to get out of there. I think under many circumstances, a 3 hour movie is just way too much. It's indulgent. And there's often so much that could be cut out that didn't need to be there. In the case of the first Wicked movie, I thought I couldn't get enough. And I agree with you that it completely flew by. And the second one, even though it's darker and more intense, I think flew by, you know, and it's an hour less. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I completely agree with you about that. Here's the 630 area code giving us a review. I saw Wicked for Good in 3D. Wow, I didn't even know it was playing in 3D anywhere. I know it's been on IMAX screens, which I have been recommending. You know, what I've said from the beginning on this, see it on as big a screen as you possibly can, because it is just a visual kaleidoscope of color and beauty. There's just so much to see. And when you see it on a big screen, I think you can, like an IMAX screen, you know, you're able to take it all in. And this person from the 630 area code said, absolutely loved it. I didn't know that it was playing in 3D. I guess I would be interested in seeing it that way. Here is the 309 area code. My son and I are big, big Wizard of Oz fans. We saw Wicked together, both 1 and 2, and absolutely loved it. Good. I'm glad that you both enjoyed it. And multi-generation as well, right? I think that's really nice. All right. Well, some really good comments here. I'm glad to hear that, you know, almost everybody here really, really, really enjoyed it. Feel free to continue to, if you want to text in comments on that, always interested in seeing them. 312-981-7200. As I said, coming up after 12 o'clock, meteorologist Bill Snyder gives us a weather update after the big storm from yesterday, and we get into our food time show, all coming up. Stick around for all of that, please. So I just gave a brief mention earlier in the program to my favorite thing to do with leftovers after Thanksgiving. I've got a ton of emails asking.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Yeah,
my famous turkey leftover sandwich, where you put all your leftovers into one sandwich.
It's not a bad idea.
That's how they do it. Yeah.
Sounds a little indulgent. Swanee, you'll remember Dagwood, right?
Oh yeah,
making the gigantic sandwich. That's what this is a little like when you make this sandwich.
Jack, you know who Dagwood is, don't you?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Blondie. I love this. But anyway,
Dagwood Bumstead.
It's he, Mr. Dithers. The sandwich,
Mr. Dithers.
I'm scared at what's in my memory sometimes.
I know.
Like the stupid things that I remember are scary. The sandwich, in years past, I made it with sourdough bread. I would put a layer of cranberry sauce on the bread. Then I would put a layer of stuffing on the bread. Then I would put some sweet potatoes on that. Then I would put the turkey on that and call it a day. That's a pretty good sandwich. But what I did this year was I eliminated the bread because, you know, I'm all about eating healthy.
You eliminated the bread?
That's why.
Got to have less carbs.
Yeah, it's fewer carbs with this new way I'm doing it, where I take the stuffing and I put it on a waffle iron. I flatten it out and put it in a waffle iron.
Seriously?
So that becomes the bread then, right?
That's great.
The stuffing becomes the bread. And then you put all the other junk on it.
Junk.
And then you put another slice of the stuffing on top of it. So you get a bite of, you know, it's got everything in there minus the bread.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've got the recipe up at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks, if anybody's interested in that.
All right. Well, I don't have any leftovers, actually.
No, I know. You. Well, your butler probably.
You didn't get a to-go bag?
The butler.
Shawnee went to the Hilton Hotel for Thanksgiving. And
home, his, James.
Yeah, his butler prepared him a doggy bag.
And for those who are interested, Arthur Lake played Dagwood.
Blondie!
And it was Penny Singleton who played Blondie.
Who was Blondie.
Yeah. Wow, all the way back to 1938?
They still show those movies.
Oh, I know.
The Blondie movies.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What was the kid's name? Their kid?
Oh, that's a good question.
What was their kid's name? Alexander?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure here.
And the dog? There was a dog that was involved?
There's a dog here. Yeah. Man. Okay.
All right. Well,
they showed them on the good old Channel 9.
Yes, we did.
I remember watching them.
Yes, we did.
And now that you mention it, it's scary about what goes on in our heads about the one episode where they're in Mr. Dither's office and Blondie says, "Fire Dagwood." And Dagwood just backs away in the corner and Mr. Dither's walks up, "Dagwood Bumstead." You're fired!
When we go down these rabbit holes, it scares me. It's just, dump, there you go. There you go. The theme song from Blondie.
There's the highlight of the morning right there.
Well, the highlight of the morning for all of us was watching you dancing on the, to that song on the closed-circuit cameras.
He's cutting a rug.
Schwani is quite the dancer. As my blackmail photos that I have of him will attest.
Don't go.
I need to see these sometime.
Yep. No, you don't.
I've heard about them for years.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Dancing is involved.
Good.
Dancing is involved.
All right, just leave it at that.
That's the first clue I've
just
ever...
Just leave it at that.
That's the first clue I've ever given just, to the blackmail photos.
I said
photos.
Leave it
yeah, that's
at
fun.
That.
Yeah.
In all these years that we've done this, and I've referred to the blackmail photos...
I'm going to call in Mr. Dithers.
Now, the theme song answered some of the questions that we had about the kid, the boy, whose name was Alexander, but they, for some reason they called him Baby Dumpling.
Baby Dumpling.
And on the text line, somebody said there was a daughter named Cookie.
I don't remember the daughter.
I don't remember a daughter
at
all.
The son and a dog, yes.
And the dog was Daisy.
Okay.
The dog was Daisy, and that's... And the dog would always, the mailman would come to deliver the mail, and the dog, it wasn't the dog, it was Dagwood that would be running out of the house because he was late and always collide with the mailman, and letters would be flying everywhere.
Yep. There was an episode where he was trying to do his taxes, and he had papers all over the desk. Boy, you've really got me wrong.
No. I'm telling you, there's a reason why we are the way we are today, because we were all raised on this junk.
I'm going to bring in my comic books next week.
Dagwood comics?
I think there were Blondie comics.
Oh, wow.
I do. Well, Jack, you have all those, don't you?
Of course. What are we talking about?
Jack hasn't heard a word we've said since 9:15 this
morning.
He is
now rolling his eyes.
Jack.
Yes.
That's okay. As long as he
had a great power nap.
Every once in a while, you ask Jack a question, and he goes, "Yeah, oh yeah,
oh sure, yes,
yeah."
White Christmas.
I think that's fine. I think that's fine. Even Eli's caught on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Eli's
a fast
show.
Learner.
Yeah, for no, he's already caught on to the "I think that's fine" really.
I think you should report your trip to work here this morning, Eli.
What a little combination of personalities we have on the show, right?
It just fits.
Yes, it does.
Somehow it does. Which just reminds me, people text how much they enjoy the silliness and the laughing and stuff. You know, we just try to have a nice time here on Sunday morning.
Relive our childhood.
Well,
is what we do.
That's part of it. So I appreciate all the nice texts and all that. But today we've also had a lot of very solid information also about traveling for this busy weekend, about the airport delays, about the streets in San. We're also being somewhat responsible today, too.
If I can jump in, we've just had an update on flight cancellations and delays. Now over 280 at O'Hare, and delays have jumped considerably, upwards of an hour now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll keep you posted on that. And then earlier we talked with meteorologist Bill Snyder, who gave us an update on the weather that we had yesterday, what we're expecting today, and the deep freeze we're about to go into as well. Meteorologist Bill Snyder, who is joining us on the phone line right now. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, Bill. Hello.
Hello, Dean. It's great to talk to you, my friend. I hope it was very nice. Yes, with
good.
Family, and we had a very nice Thanksgiving. How about you?
Very good. Yes, very, very nice. And then we woke up to all this snow coming down.
Oh
yesterday.
Boy, did we!
How yep. much did we wind up getting around the area?
Well, Dean, so here's the latest, hot off the presses. We've got up to 11 inches in Wadsworth, Lindenhurst 10.5. We had 10.3 Round Lake Park. 10.4 in Palatine, 10 inches Hoffman Estates, 10 inches in Skokie, about 8 inches here in the city in Logan Square. We had in Indiana, we had 7 inches in Merrillville, 9.8 at Cedar Lake, 10 inches in Valparaiso. Our official stations, Dean, we had 8.6 at O'Hare, 7.2 at Midway. Now, what's interesting about the 8.6 at O'Hare, 8.4 inches of that fell yesterday on yesterday's calendar day, making it the snowiest November day in our history.
How about that?
We broke a record for the snowiest in history. And what else is interesting about that, Dean, is that the 8.6 or 8.4 inches that fell yesterday, we have not had a snow of that magnitude on a calendar day here in more than a decade.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, so we've had some pretty anemic winters, you know, in recent years, in terms of snowfall. But the last time that O'Hare Field, you know, there could have been other, you know, locations around our area that have certainly seen some bigger snows. I know there were some lake effect events and so forth. But the official station at O'Hare has not had a bigger calendar day snow since the Super Bowl blizzard in February of 2015.
Wow. Oh, I remember when well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 16.2 inches fell on February 1, 2015. The storm total ended up producing about 19.3, one of our, you know, biggest snowstorms in history. But it's interesting. Yeah, so it's been a while, and wow, we're off and running to a very what could be a snowy beginning to winter. I mean, it's not even winter yet. We're still in November, and we start meteorological winter tomorrow. We'd like to use the catalog the seasons. For record keeping purposes, December 1 through end of February is meteorological winter. But wow, the astronomical start of winter isn't for 3 more weeks. So
yeah.
Wow.
So is this an indication of what we might expect for this winter then?
You know, I'll tell you what, Dean, there were some indicators that we look at. We have a weak La Nina going, which we've had some La Ninas in recent winters in the last, 5 or 6 years. But, each one doesn't necessarily respond the same way its predecessor did. So the fact is, some of our weak La Ninas here in Chicago have gone on to produce some banner snow seasons. So that's one of the things that we look at, you know, in terms of indicators, or, you know, we like to look at analogs to see, hey, okay, well, in that winter, what happened? But there's certainly every indication that the start of winter, at least as far as, you know, looking at December, it's not only going to be cold, but it's going to be fairly snowy, too. We've got, you know, these systems coming in at regular intervals. I don't see anything on par with what we had yesterday, thankfully. But, you know, we've got snow on the ground. It's going to be cold. There's no sign of any kind of a thaw anytime soon. So the snow's not going anywhere. And, you know, all these little snows that we may get here down the road will continue to pile up, and it's not going to melt. So, that's an interesting trend. And another interesting thing, too, Dean, is the last time we had a colder than normal and snowier than normal December was almost a decade ago, too, 2016. Wow. So you look at all these numbers and you say, you know, you scratch your head and say, hey, you know, we've been kind of lucky, and Mother Nature, you know, tends to eventually balance herself out. And that may be what we're doing right now, at least for the start of winter.
So it seems like every time I you know, glance out the window here in downtown Chicago, I'm seeing something different. Right now, I'm not seeing anything coming down.
No.
5 minutes ago, it was coming down like crazy.
Another little wave coming in from the north.
Is that how today is going to be? Is it going to be sort of on and off like that today?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I don't think, you know, we're looking at more of flurries the rest of the day on and off. But you know what? There also will be a little bit of peaks of sun every now and then. I'm looking out my window out here in the western suburbs, and it's not really bright, but there's the sun's trying to peek out a little bit. And so don't be surprised if you see that here throughout the afternoon. But boy, it's going to get cold tonight. You know how it goes. Any hardy Chicagoan knows that typically when we get, you know, a sizable snowfall, usually the cold follows right behind it. And you know, tomorrow morning we could be, you know, approaching single digits in some of the coldest outlying areas. I don't think we won't be that cold in the city. But you know, the only thing that may protect us from getting colder is some cloud cover. It's not going to be completely clear. If we were talking clear skies tonight, Dean, we'd be definitely down some of the outlying areas. Wouldn't be surprised if they'd be down close to zero. But the fact that we're going to have some clouds, that will check the temperature from getting colder than it would otherwise be. But that being said, you know, temperatures in the 10 to 15 degree range for lows tonight, and you put any wind with that, and you're heading out the door tomorrow morning to work or school, and you're going to be, you know, approached by single-digit wind chills.
So
it's going to be chilly.
Yeah, you talk about being cold. Do we have any relief in sight in the coming week?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, you know, I like to say, hey, we got something to look forward to down the road, but, you know, looking out the next week to 10 days, Dean, I think each and every one of the days is going to be below normal. I mean, normal high is still in the lower 40s right now, so we're nowhere close to that. And our warmest temperature here in the next 7 days comes on Wednesday, and that's, we're talking about highs getting up to freezing, and that's it, 32, which is pretty darn cold, and that's again well below normal. And we have a couple of more snow systems, you know, moving through the area this week that are likely to tack onto our total. And, you know, but nothing on par with what we just saw. So that's good. But tomorrow afternoon and evening, Dean, we have another little band of snow coming through, and looks like that could produce, you know, a couple of inches possible. So it doesn't take much in these temperatures. And if it falls at the wrong time, you know, during rush hour, it's going to create some slick spots on the roads for sure.
Yeah, buckle yourselves in. Winter is definitely here in Chicago. I've got a ton of people on our text line asking. They're doing some travel today, coming home or whatever, you know, for the holiday weekend. In this region, up in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Indiana. Anything unusual that they might need to know about?
The system is starting to wind down, so that's good. It's moving east. So the bulk of the you know really threatening accumulating snow is moving out. So that's good news. But and they actually had a little bit less snow I think up in Wisconsin than we did here. So so that's good news. If you're traveling from there back to Chicago, it should be a little bit, the road should be a little bit improved there. But here locally, you know, our plows have been working hard throughout the night and through the morning. And so I would expect with not, you know, seeing any additional, you know, accumulating snow here throughout the day, that road conditions will continue to improve for anyone driving back. And certainly that's good news.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on all of that and keep people updated today. Bill, for how many years did you work with Tom Skilling at WGN-TV?
I worked with Tom for 27 years, and, you know, what a pleasure it was. And, you know, a lot of the things that I bring to the table today, and I work with Demetrius Ivory. We have a great team of Alyssa Donovan, and, you know, I try to bring some of that, you know, breadth and knowledge working with, you know, a man that I consider who's, you know, the czar of weather forecasting.
Yeah,
you know,
he's the weather goat. He is the weather goat, Tom Skilling.
Oh, no question about it. And you know, he's still, Dean, even though he's away from the day-to-day operations, he's still doing some stories for us every now and then on WGN, yeah. Some feature stories, which are great and informative. So he still keeps himself involved with it, but spends a lot of time in Hawaii.
He's still giving us, like, weather forecasts for Chicago. From his balcony in
Balcony,
Hawaii,
yeah, yes,
and
oh, yeah.
Snorkeling, and you got to follow him. It's crazy what he's doing in
his
retirement. But I gotta ask you, how much fun are you guys having on this WGN Plus show that you're doing?
You know, the forecasters. I'll tell you something. It's a little bit of extra work, but we are having fun with it, and I think we're. You know, we're creating ourselves a little niche there, you know, I do it with nightly with Demetrius and Tim Joyce. When he's there, he joins us, and we figure the more the better, and we're just we've created a nice little audience, and people are starting to write in and take note of it. And what's great about it too now, Dean, is that we're able to if you're not home, you can catch us on your WGN app. So if you download that on your smartphone, you can watch us there. You can watch us on your laptop iPad. So that's really cool
that you
can watch us anywhere.
It's on the WGN Plus TV app. It's available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and Samsung
TVs. Nightly Monday through Friday from at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
We're live 7 to 7:30. So we get off the... early evening news, and we kind of jump right into our streaming show. We have a great producer that works with us, and you know, we try to focus on some other stories that might be noteworthy nationally, in addition to having a little fun with it too. We have a little banter with Demetrius and I, and we have a little segment we like to do, Dean, with our viewers. It's called We Bet on Weather, and we pick a location, because Demetrius has fun with it, but we pick a location somewhere across the country, and we have our viewers predict what the high temperature is going to be on a given day. And whoever's closest, they get a little credit on our leaderboard. And, you know, we were even able to give away a shirt to one of our viewers the other day, forecaster shirt. So, yeah, it's great. It's great. We're having fun with it.
Yeah, it was the actual shirt that Demetrius was wearing that day. So it's, you know, extra special
treat. Right.
Bill Snyder, meteorologist, weather producer at WGN. We always appreciate when you can jump on with us here, pal. Hope you have a great day today.
It's always great to talk to you. You too. Stay warm, everyone.
All right. So there you go. Meteorologist Bill Snyder with the latest. We spoke with him a little bit earlier and gave us the latest on what happened yesterday, what we're looking forward to today and for next week. And it looks like we're going to be in the deep freeze for a little while and even still deal with, you know, some flurries. Although the advisories and the warnings now are all over. I'm not seeing any flakes here in downtown Chicago, snowflakes, that is, in downtown Chicago.
your implication is?
No offense intended. I'm just saying. So it looks like we're going to be all clear here, except for the cold. That we're going to have to deal with.
Well, the cold, and also we're going to have an update here on the delays and cancellations, because they are on the rise.
All right. Is that coming up in the newscast?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get to that after this. 12:36. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our Food Time show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program. We actually get to do the program today. We're not preempted by anything. What do you know? A full show. And kind of ties in here because this is definitely the foodiest time of the year. What with Thanksgiving just passed and leftovers just passed. And now we focus in on Christmas time. Everyone's got, you know, traditional things that they serve at Christmas dinner, you know, for the whole family or friends or whatever, for the full Christmas Eve, Christmas Day kind of celebration. But there are going to be so many holiday parties coming up between now and then. I wanted to focus in on Christmas appetizers. And we'll probably do it again next week as well, because there's some good ones. In fact, this coming Wednesday on my TV cooking segment on the WGN TV Morning News, I'm going to be doing a Christmas appetizer, which is kind of interesting, a Christmas tree pizza. Christmas tree pizza, where you take the pizza dough and you cut it into small pieces and you roll it into balls. And then on a cooking sheet, a baking sheet, you form a Christmas tree out of these dough balls. And you bake them. You, coat them with oil. You put, you know, salt, pepper, probably Italian seasoning is best. Just a variety of, your favorite seasonings. But I think, you know, for an overall seasoning, the Italian seasoning is best. And then you take some, here's the best part. You take some Alfredo sauce. Alfredo sauce with pesto. Mix them together, the Alfredo and the pesto. So now you've got this green sauce, which is super delicious, from the pesto and the Alfredo. And you apply it to these pizza balls that you've just baked, that are in a Christmas tree shape. So now you've got this Christmas tree that is green, that looks like a Christmas tree and super delicious with the Alfredo pesto mixture, onto which you then add some little pieces of pepperoni. They actually sell mini pepperonis that are already round. The idea is you want them to look like Christmas ornaments. So you take these little mini pepperonis and put them all over the pizza. You're going to take some either chopped tomatoes or red bell peppers diced into small pieces, and you're going to sprinkle those on the pizza. You're going to take some green pepper, also diced, put those all over the pizza. So, you know, you're making this beautiful festive pizza now with red and green all over it, and then take some mozzarella cheese, some shredded mozzarella, finely shredded, and sprinkle that over it, pop it back into the oven again until it all melts. And you've basically, you know, you've got a pizza, right? You've got the pizza dough with the Alfredo pesto. You've got pepperoni. You've got tomato. You've got green peppers and the mozzarella cheese on top of it. That is one delicious Christmas tree pizza right there.
You're just missing the tinsel.
Well, now what can we put on there for tinsel? I was thinking about that. What would be shiny like that, but also edible, that might work? I'm going to have to think about that.
Maybe a sauce might be most, like, reflective.
I have to think about a sauce that would be reflective. I'm going to give that some thought, because honestly, that's the only thing that is missing. But I'll tell you this, tinsel or not, edible tinsel or not, you put that out on at your holiday party, and you know what you do then is just, you know, take the pizza balls that you made, and people are going to rip, you know, take a little sampling of them, and it's pizza. It's basically pizza, and it's done in such a cute way. That's what I'm actually going to make that on my WGN TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday. The Christmas tree pizza. and we'll post the recipes and, you know, all that sort of thing. Something else that that we always have at our Christmas parties is my grandmother's cheese ball. My grandmother, you know, nice old Greek lady who, you know, probably her entire life made 99.9% only Greek recipes. The only thing I can think of that was super American is this cheese ball that she always made for the holidays. And it was always a big hit because it's festive looking. It's super delicious. And I guess you got to like olives. I do have some friends that somehow have an aversion to olives. I don't understand that. They're so delicious. But basically what it is a ball of cream cheese that you let get to room temperature, and then you put it in a mixing bowl. You take a small jar of Spanish olives. So these are the, you know, the Spanish olives are the ones, the green olives with the red pimentos in them, green and red, get it? You're going to take those olives and you're going to chop them up and mix those into the cream cheese mixture in your mixing bowl. Mix it, mix it, mix it till it's all, it's going to be beautiful. It looks like a nice little snowball with red and green flecks in it. And, you know, if you like olives, I love olives. I know some people don't. It's super delicious. But then you take this cheese ball and roll it in some chopped nuts. I'm going to suggest that you get some pecans, chop them up really finely, and kind of roll your ball into these nuts, so now it's also nut covered. Wrap it in cellophane and form it into a ball. Put it in the fridge for a couple of hours so it, you know, hardens up a little bit. Serve it. My grandmother always served it with the Ritz crackers. She was big on the Ritz crackers, and they're super delicious. The whole thing's super delicious. Now I'm going to add a little something to this. If you want to add on to the cheese ball idea, there's a couple of other ideas where you can take a similar cheese ball, instead of the olives, put chop some cranberries super finely and mix that in with the cream cheese, and then cover the cheese with chopped cranberries. And you can do the same thing with a variety of herbs. If you take some parsley, if you take some dill, if you take something like, what else would be good? Chives would be good. Chop these herbs up really well. Put those into the cream cheese and cover the cheese ball with those. And now you've got a red cheese ball. You've got a green cheese ball. And you've got my grandmother's cheese ball, which is red and green. You stick a couple of maybe a rosemary sprig on top of it, and these look like Christmas ornaments all of a sudden, and serve them with your favorite crackers or some nice vegetables. Here's some wonderful ideas, and super easy, by the way, for your holiday parties. 312-981-7200 is my phone number. If you've got some Christmas appetizer ideas, I've got many, many more I'll share with you in a second. But let's get to Penny on our phone lines here. 312-981-7200. Penny, you're on WGN. Hello there.
Hello there. I have a retail therapy idea for you.
What kind of therapy?
Retail therapy.
Oh, retail shopping therapy idea.
Yes. You need to publish a book, a cookbook. You remember what a book is, don't you? It's this thing that you hold and you turn the pages.
Yeah.
And I'm a lady of a certain age.
Yeah, I don't, but I have older relatives who can tell me what a book was, yes.
It's reading off a computer is hard on my eyes.
Yeah.
But I think this would be a great bridal shower or wedding gift or any kind of gift.
How nice.
So I'm sorry I didn't reach you earlier this year, but maybe you can start now. Well, anytime is a good time to give a gift.
Well, you know what? We, I, you know, this gets back to, you know, you're going to have to go back to reading the computer, but what we do when I do these cooking segments on WGN-TV, we always put the recipes up on our website, which is wgntv.com/DeanCooks. And we've got all the recipes there. We've got the videos of me preparing the recipes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people have said I should do a cookbook. Remember, I don't know if you remember, Spike Odell, he put out one or two cookbooks, I think, with his mustard, his Bite Your Butt mustard. So it wouldn't be a WGN first, but yeah, maybe we'll do a cookbook one of these days.
Well, I live in Lansing, Illinois, and the library's real helpful, and they'll pull it up for me and maybe enlarge it for me and print it.
Okay, all right. Now tell me something. If you're going to have a holiday get-together and you're going to make some appetizers, maybe a family member made a favorite appetizer or friend, give me a holiday appetizer idea, Penny.
Well, I don't know if anybody did this, but you take the little tiny hot dogs and you take the crescent roll and cut it in three and roll each one up and, you know, bake it according to directions.
Yeah. Okay. So just those little cocktail weenies.
Here you go.
In a croissant piece.
Yeah, but you cut the crescent dough into three.
Okay. Oh, the raw dough. So
right,
you're
going to
bake these so... Mm-hmm. So the dough itself, the croissant dough, bakes around the weenie.
Right.
Okay. How about if we throw a little bacon around that little cocktail weenie?
Oh, wow. That's an upgrade.
How about if we throw a little, maybe a little sprinkle of cheese in there with the cocktail weenie?
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Yeah. Now we're talking cocktail weenies. All right. All right. I love that. Penny, I hope you have a wonderful day today. And a very safe holiday season. Thank you for the call.
And same to all of you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. 12:52. All I want for Christmas is some good food. Go to a holiday party and they have some fantastic appetizers. Nothing better than that. Somebody texted in talking about my Christmas tree pizza idea. They suggested a Christmas tree charcuterie board where you arrange the stuff on the charcuterie board to look like a Christmas tree. I've seen these, and man, you better be artistic if you're going to put one of those together, because it's tricky. The salami, you got to sort of fold the salamis to form the outline of the tree, you know, on the board, and then everything else that goes on it, you know, olives and fruits and, you know, dried fruits and cheeses and all that makes a beautiful display, you know, because everything is so colorful and winds up looking like a Christmas tree. So yeah, the Christmas tree charcuterie board is also a fantastic idea. I wanted to throw one more out that's super easy and that you may want to give a try to. It's a crab and cheese stuffed mini pepper. You've seen those in the grocery store near where they sell the green peppers and the red bell peppers and all those. They usually come in a bag, and they're small versions of those peppers. You take those peppers, cut them in half, take the seeds out, and then take, I think there are often green ones in there, but there are definitely red ones, definitely yellow ones. But they're very colorful and beautiful. But in the meantime, again, here we go with the cream cheese. It's a great idea for an appetizer table. You take a bar of the cream cheese. You get a can of crab. Not that expensive, but the canned crab. You mix it together along with a little bit of salt and paprika. And the paprika goes on at the end. But the crab and the cream cheese go together, and then you stuff these little mini peppers with this cheese mixture, and then on top of it, just a little dab of the paprika for some color. They're delicious. They look beautiful on the table, and they could not be any easier. Let's see what Lee has to say. Hi, you're on WGN. Lee, are you there? Is it Lee? Is it Lay? Lay. No? No. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have the... I have the wrong button pushed here, Lee. I'm sorry. You're on now. We can hear you.
Okay. My son makes these, and you get bulk Italian sausage. We use the spicy, but you don't have to.
Okay.
You roll them into bite-sized meatballs, and you saute them till they're done. Drain most of the grease out, and then at the last minute, throw in a couple of handfuls of green grapes.
Oh, nice.
And toss that together. And then you toothpick a grape and a meatball together.
Oh, my gosh. How about that? I love this. Let me just see if I've got this right. So you're going to get the Italian beef and
Italian sausage.
Okay, that makes a little more sense of how it's going to hold together. All right, so you've got the Italian sausage. Fry them up. Drain them. Go ahead.
Make little bite-sized meatballs.
Right, right.
And cook them up. And then you drain, you leave a little bit of the fat in there.
Right, that's where the flavor is.
And then when the meatballs are done, you throw in a couple of handfuls of green grapes.
Nice. Oh, that's
and
nice.
And warm the grapes and then toothpick them. And, you know, actually, with the grapes, the spicy sausage is not quite as spicy. But we do it with spicy.
Yeah, because otherwise it's a little too mild. You want a little of that spiciness against the sweetness of the grape, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you really want to get fancy with this, get a few green grapes and a few red grapes, and now it's a Christmassy color, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that idea. I love that.
It's really good.
Was that your son's idea, you said?
Yes, my son. The first time he did it, I thought he was crazy. But it's really good.
That sounds good. That sounds really tasty. I'm going to give that a try. That sounds like a really
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, yeah. What I was thinking while you were talking about that and the Italian sausage and making them into little mini meatballs, I was just going to take the sausage, maybe put a little hot jardiniere in there and form the meatballs with no grape.
Ooh.
With no grape, just the sausage with the jard. That would be tasty. Or maybe, would it be good with the grape? I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, you know, speaking of your cheese ball, and what you could put in the softened cream cheese, and what we do is a jar of jardiniere.
Oh, that's
with
nice.
With the juice.
That's nice. That's nice. And then just form a ball with the jardiniere? That would be delicious.
Yes, and you can roll it in shredded mozzarella.
Oh, okay. Lee, I'm coming over to your house for Christmas. That's the final.
You're always welcome.
I appreciate the call and a fantastic recipe. Happy holidays to you. Thank you.
Same to you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. That's going to wrap up for today. We got to get out of here. But, yeah, some great ideas. And see what I do with this Christmas tree pizza Wednesday on my TV cooking segment. I think it's a really good idea, and I don't think it's that hard to make, really. So we'll give it a try Wednesday. It's usually around 9:30 in the morning is when we do that. That's it for today. We'll see you on Bob Surratt Show every Monday through Friday between 8 and 8:30. We talk showbiz and have some laughs, and, of course, on the WGN-TV Morning News Monday through Friday. We've got some great A-list guests that we're going to be talking to this week. Stand by. Steve Dale is coming up after a check of WGN News.